Blog Talk Radio.
Stays hot, I ain't gotta get my buzz back. What everybody trying to be now, I was that. They could never stop me, that's why I love rap. Been living the life, crazy ice. With the baddest chicks in the world, maybe twice. The swag, the gear, the bread, all the whips is a year ahead. I only fear the feds. 45 on the other side of the peephole. Headshot from point blank, call it a free throw. Funny, cause I had the vision since Coleco. Back then, still ain't reached my peak though. Louis Lopez, yeah, Polo Pico. Call me whenever the bosses meet, yo. I drove Poppy crazy, so the industry's never gonna stop me, baby. Can't stop me, whether I'm on 5th or L.A. or swap me. It's all good, cause I know the gangsters got me. First thing first is the jaws of broccoli. I treat the rap game like a large monopoly. One-on-one, niggas can't guard me properly. And when they double-team me, the odds are sloppy. I move like them 80 milligrams of oxy. Send your sister back to your family, not me. Got too hot for the grams, got weed. In the rap bracket, he remains the top seed. Revolver hold 6, quick to blow 3. Audio heroin, so you don't OD. Shooters know you, but you don't know me. The block is crazy, can't stop me, baby.
Everybody had a pleasant and safe new year. Welcome back to GQ Palace. We're going to start this off right. I am your host, Rich Money, and welcome to the new year of Love and Entertainment, second episode of GQ Palace Radio. Now, before we get started, I want to take this time out to thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. Now, last weekend, we had a spectacular show before the new year came in. We had Maine Williams with the GQ General Question. We had Todd the Boss in the building. He let us know what's going on with him and everything he was doing in the music industry. We had promoter John Doe and Showtime on the air with us. And then we had an exciting episode last week. with Soak, Robert Bays, who was actually Dougie Fresh's father, and Delilah. They came on and were discussing some stuff about the community and other interesting topics, which it got real, real hot, which we actually went into the archives for almost an hour before we end the show. So to hear last week's show, you can go to blogtalkradio.com and type in DQ Palace. That's Zeeque Palace, and check out the archive. Now tonight, we're starting the new year off right. You feel what I'm saying? On a general question, we have Elijah. Then after Elijah, we have up-and-coming artists who actually won the showcase in the Mike Ice Showcase Open Mic, Ron Terry, and we're going to be playing his smashing single, White Collar. After Ron Terry, we have one of the biggest promoters at NYC in the building, Robert B. Cruz, and he's going to let us know what's going on with him and his event. He's a big event he got going on with the comedians and the promoters and all that. And after Robert B. Cruz, we have author Lisa Dixon. And we're going to talk about her novel that's hitting the nation hard. So stay right there and don't move. We'll be right back with Elijah and his GQ General Question. This is GQ Palace. Love and entertainment.
It's butter, baby!
For sure. Dons and Divas, welcome back to the palace. And with me right now, I have Elijah. Elijah, welcome to the show.
Thank
Thank
Elijah,
you.
Elijah, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, my brother. How you doing, man?
I'm all right. I can't complain.
That's what's up. That's what's up.
For taking the time out. I want to thank you for taking the time out this evening to join us. As far
well,
as I
know,
you're a real good
right,
friend.
Well, it's a pleasure, man. Y'all doing a real good thing over there. And anytime I can show some love and support, it's my honor and it's my pleasure. I really like what y'all doing. You're opening up a forum for people to call in, ask questions, concerns, share things about the community, upcoming artists, novelists. And so you're doing a real good thing there. And, you know, I believe that God's going to bless this show. And you're already blown up. But, you know, I think it's going to blow up even more. So I thank you for having me on.
Thanks a lot, Elijah. I appreciate that. Thanks a lot. I do appreciate that. You need the hand time. But now, Elijah, let's get to this general question you have.
Okay.
First, before you get to the general question, let the listeners know a little something about yourself. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, basically, yeah, my name is Elijah, and I am a clinical social worker and case manager by trade. I work with a wide variety population ranging from mental health, from minor depression to schizophrenia and mental disorders and behaviors. I work with a substance abuse population. I work with men, women, and children who have been neglected, abused, raped, molested. So I work with a wide variety population. And it actually, the topic or the subject that I thought about actually comes from my working with the constituency that I do work with at my facility. And so, yeah, that's what I do. I'm a clinical case manager and social worker. And, yeah, that's what I do.
Okay. And what's your topic for this evening?
Well, the topic I actually thought about doing is a topic on the power of forgiveness and how it can benefit you mentally, spiritually, physically, and emotionally, and how unforgiveness can harm you mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally.
Going in deep already.
It's
okay.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So it's a deep topic, and let me just go ahead and get on into it. I was inspired to talk about this topic because, once again, as I previously mentioned, I work with a population, in particular men, women, and children, who have been neglected, who have been abused, molested, and in some cases the women were raped as well as the men. And one of the things that is oftentimes difficult to get them is to a state of forgiveness. And, you know, as a human being on this earth, of course, we can imagine how difficult it is to forgive somebody or someone who has harmed you, you know, because our instincts is to lash back. Our instincts is to hate, to want to harm them back. And with the women that I work with who've been molested and raped, that's one of the most and with all that population, men, women, and children, one of the most difficult things that they go through is or have achieved is that state of forgiveness. It's like, which you can understand, you know, why would I forgive somebody who's raped me or who's neglected me or abused me? And what happens is a lot of these men, women, and children, what's happening is that they're still suffering inside. They're still going through the pain, through the turmoil of the memory of what happened to them. And it's like a type of cancer that eats you from the inside out. And, you know, what I try to share with them is, if someone has harmed you, 9 out of 10 times, that person has gone on and they done moved on with their life, if not moved on to the next victim. But here you are, year after year, day after day, you're going through the same turmoil, remembering that incident, and it's really making you even more sick from the inside out. They have a condition called, in the psychology world, called psychosomatic, meaning you can literally make yourself physically ill by the thoughts in your head and vice versa. And so I tell them that it's important to forgive the molester. It's important to forgive the rapist, the abuser, the neglecter, not so much for them, for the person who's carried out this harmful act, but for yourself. Because what it does, it creates a sense of freedom, because this person is no longer raping you mentally. See, that's what happens oftentimes. When you hold on to that hatred, to that anger, you're still being raped, molested, and neglected by this person mentally. And they're not even in the picture. They done moved on with their life, you know, but yet you're still here suffering. And so it's important to arrive at a state of forgiveness. I've even had some men who've been incarcerated and who were gang raped, and I've had some men who grew up and were molested as children. And, you know, I personally don't think there's no difference between men and women as far as the way we feel. I think men, sometimes because of what society has told us, we just hide it a little better. We've been told we got to be tough. We can't cry. We can't show weakness. And, you know, to be honest, I wish I could find the person who came up with that and just kind of shake them by the collar. But that's one of the most harmful things. That's one of the most harmful things for us men, because, you know, we're neglecting our feelings. But let me slow down, so you might want to interject something.
Absolutely right. Yeah, because what I want to do, no, it's all good. You know, like I usually let it's your topic. You understand? So when the callers come in, it's on you. You know, they want to ask a question.
I got you.
You understand? But everybody that's listening, the number to call, if you're on your PC, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air to give your point of view on Elijah's topic, or stay on the line to hear the show. You can also interact with everybody on the GQ General Question Wall, where they're talking as of now as the show is airing live. What I'm going to do right now, Elijah, I'm going to bring in our first caller, all right?
All right, all right.
Here we go. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Hello, did you hear the topic for this evening?
Yeah, forgiveness, right?
Mm-hmm. And
well,
what's
think,
your point of view on it?
I think it's a good topic. And also, not only is it a good topic, it's scriptural for everyone to show forgiveness. You know, the Bible says you forgive your brother 77 times. Not that you're counting, but it's a number that shows unlimited forgiveness. In a lot of cases, when people are violated, it may be difficult for them to move on. However, from a psychological standpoint, it's most healthiest for them to get that type of counseling so they can actually move on and get past that, because if you keep looking back, you're never able to go forward. And if you continue to harbor the resentment, it basically can eat you up emotionally, and it can cause physical harm to you as well. So I agree that, you know, a lot of people may face some traumatic experiences in their lives, and it may be very difficult for them to get past that, but it's actually pertinent that they do in order for them to actually survive and try to live a healthy and productive life.
So, like you said, would you be able to forgive somebody that actually, you know, hopefully it never happened and never will happen, that actually did something to you physically, especially if it was like a family member? Would you be able to forgive them for that?
I'm going to say, yeah. But see, the thing about that is, if a person shows some form of repentance of what they may have done, that also helps the victim to be able to accept that. In some cases, some people don't show repentance or any sort of sorrowful feelings towards the victim that they offended. So that's when you have to go into a different direction and not forgive them for them asking you to forgive them, but forgive them for yourself to let it go.
Okay.
You follow what I'm saying?
Okay, we have another call on the line. Elijah, I'm going to let you respond to that. We're going to bring in another caller. Then, Elijah, you go ahead and say what you got
to
say.
Well, it ain't too much to respond. The sister hit it right on the head. You know, basically, the idea is that forgiving the individual is not for them. It's for you, so that you can move on with your life. Because here you are walking around every single day remembering that trauma, remembering that incident, and they're still mentally raping you each and or molesting you or physically harming you each and every day, and they're not even there physically because you're holding on to it and you're harboring it. And like she said, it can harm you mentally. Some women will have mental breakdowns and go into a deep depression. Physically, you can make yourself sick, ulcers, high blood pressure, believe it or not. It increases your chance for heart disease. Spiritually, if you're trying to lead a spiritual path, like she said, one of God's biggest things is, you know, don't come to me asking me for things or praying to me about things when you're standing there harboring hatred in your heart, because I can't honor that because that's not my nature. You know, so yeah, she's right on point. Everything she says.
Okay,
we're
gonna bring another caller because you know what I want to ask before I bring this caller in. I just want to say I want to know. I heard if you can forgive, but you can't forget. But we're gonna bring a caller on and see what they gotta say. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
How you doing? How you doing?
Hey.
Is that a topic for this evening?
Yes, it is. Actually, it's a great topic and. You know, I can really relate to it, even though, you know, it's in my past. As a child, I was molested by my uncles, two of them. You know, but, you know, both of them are gone now, but still, I was just talking with my brother not long ago about this subject, you know. And it baffles me to think, you know, people still just every day you're getting somebody is getting raped, abused, or whatever, you know. And it's I don't know.
Okay, so can I
ask
you
really never forgave them.
Okay, that was my
I really
question.
Never forgave them because you know I actually got the worst beating in my life because I told what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was like 9 and 10 years old.
Right, right. And
so
you know,
go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead, sister. Keep talking.
I mean, it's still like I said, my brother was like, you know what? I felt like this one particular uncle was doing these things because he was just so fresh with everyone, you know. And when I told him, you know, like he said, out of all these years, you just really got to talk about it. Because I was scared after I got beat, you know?
Right, right, right. And, you know, that's you know, especially when you're dealing with the children, that's a worst-case scenario. And you know, mm-hmm. I really feel for you, my sister, but that's a worst-case scenario for a child who actually gathers the, you know, the strength to approach another adult who they are looking to for security, because most children look to their parents and look to the elders and adults in their life for security. And that's a worst case scenario when you actually tell and then you're punished for it, you know, because children in particular have a way of internalizing trauma. They will find a way to somehow feel as if, well, it must be my fault. Must be
okay. I don't mean to cut you off, Elijah, but can I ask you something?
Sure.
Mainly, if you're stating that, so you're mainly stating if, let's say, a female, because it happened to men too.
That's
they
right.
They get raped by, especially somebody in the family, that they should forgive them and forget that. Because I find that hard for them to grow up seeing this person that did that to them and knowing that they did this, because it's going to always reflect on them. So that's going to be a hard thing for a person to do, to forgive somebody that actually did that to them.
Oh, no, without question, forgiveness, although it may sound, I'm not trying to make it sound so simple, although it may sound so simple, forgiveness is actually one of the most difficult things that we as human beings can do, because you're asking to forgive somebody who harmed you. But, you know, let's look at the flip side of unforgiveness. Let's look at how your life is affected, holding on to that anger, holding on to that hatred. And what happens with women, they become very distrusting of any other man. It carries on into their future relationships. They you know, when it comes to having sexual intercourse, they're less willing because, you know, they have this distrust for men. Sometimes, not all, in some cases, and in a lot of cases, there's a general distrust. And let's look at it for the men. They grow
well,
up.
Well, can I say this about sure. the women? In some cases, too, when things happen like that to young girls, when they're young, it has the adverse effect of them becoming loose and becoming extremely highly sexual active because
exactly.
of that experience.
Exactly.
So it's a two-sided coin. They can become withdrawn or they can be over-promiscuous.
Right.
Well, with me, I mean, for the longest, I didn't even want a man to even touch me, look at me, or anything. You know, and this is the first time I've actually spoke on this with anyone but my brother. And, you know,
right.
when I was living with my aunt and uncle, you know,
right.
when I called my father took me away from it all.
Right.
You know, and I mean, you know, it still just bugs me, like, what, it'd be 13 years ago, that was the last time I seen the one uncle. And, you know, when I seen him, I just started shaking. And I was a grown woman there. But, you know, it was like a flashback. Like, you know, and when he came to hug me, I looked at my brother, you know, and my brother was, I mean, he was just watching him. And, I mean, I was just shaking because it was like I was just so scared. Like, you know he can't do anything to me now. But it was just the point of, you know, ever happening.
Right,
you know,
right.
And it was like I relived that moment.
Right.
You know what? I had a cousin. I was real young. I know it had to be before first grade. And my family had a brownstone out in Brooklyn, right? And one of the cousins, he was like a second cousin. And he was a nut, right? He had psychological issues. I hate to use that term, nut. But he had some real psychological issues. And when I had stayed over, he tried to get me. But the girls in the room woke, like one of my older cousins woke up and caught him. And, you know, she's like, get out of here, blah, blah, blah. But it seemed as if he had a history within the household for such behavior. And I was really, like, traumatized. I was like, I'm not never spending a night over there again, you know? And it was a Thanksgiving, and my mom had Thanksgiving dinner and had invited some of the family from out in Brooklyn, right? And when he walked into the house, I had never told my mother about the incident, right? But as soon as he walked into my domain, I told my mother, and that was it. Okay, that was it. He got the ultimate beat down and put out that night. But, you know, and he wasn't successful in his attempt. But at the end of the day, it still can be a traumatic experience. But once I got older and I would see him, it didn't bother me because it didn't, you know, he didn't get to the level he wanted to. But I still remember it. It's very clear and vivid. I still remember what that idiot had on, and I was like five or six years old.
Right.
See, that's,
and you know, I just wanted to applaud my sister T, because it takes a lot for you to be able to express that. And at the same time, and there's no coincidence, you know, God works the way he works. It's no coincidence that we're bringing up this topic. And you are a perfect example of what I'm speaking about, because you're a mature lady now, an adult, and yet years and years after this incident happened, you had a physical reaction to seeing the perpetrator, which is proof positive of what I'm saying of how not forgiving and how carrying that can affect you in your later years. And like my sister said, you know, you have women who become promiscuous if they don't go into the depression and the mental breakdown, but they become promiscuous in some cases, not all cases, but, and different things happen. And the same thing for men. You have men who grow up that's been molested, they become abusers of women because now they have a hatred, or they become abusers of men, or if it was a woman that molested them, because it does happen both ways, like my brother Rich said, they become abusive to women, they become neglectful to women, and so there's a lot of consequences behind not forgiving. It's a difficult thing to do, but if you look at it with the mindset of I'm doing this for myself, to free myself from that pain, from that trauma, you know, the memory will never go away. But, however, there's a phrase called my perception is my reality. The way in which I perceive things is the way in which I look at things and the way in which I conduct my life. So to forgive a person, you're forgiving yourself and allowing yourself to move on with your life. And if it does come out that a person asks you to forgive you to forgive them physically or in person, that helps as well. But if you look at it as, you know, it wasn't nothing I did, it wasn't my fault, this person is disturbed, this person is sick, that kind of helps too. And that is not your fault. But, you know, all the comments, and I just really want to give a shout-out to Sam or to my sister T for being able to share that. But that's also, once again, why it's so important to forgive so that you're not physically, mentally, and emotionally affected by it in your future relationships and in your future, you know, in your later days.
Mm-hmm. You know, like you have said, right, see, now, like T was saying, you could forgive, but you can't forget. You understand? Like you said, the woman will be walking around and healing forever, thinking about it and don't want to mess with another man and everything. But in that situation, what a person has to think about is, you know, you're messing up your life. You know, you don't got to deal with this person no more.
Right.
You understand? Which is going to be hard for them, but it's a way you could receive that healing process so you could get through it. You understand?
Right.
You talk about it. It don't have to go on for years and years. The only way, what's hard about it is, especially if it was a family member, that did it to you. You understand? So that's something that's not gonna go away real easy.
And what hurt the most though is when I got a beating because I told it.
Right.
You know,
right.
And they called me a lie.
And you know what, T, with that, you know, one thing I believe in, and I have younger sisters and siblings, and one thing I've always told them is, see, I have a son, and even with boys, you have to be careful. Nobody's going to be alone and around my kids. But at the end of the day, when it comes down to children, I believe as an adult and as a parent, it is very important for us to always reassure them that we have their back. You know, kids, you know, people tend to try to dismiss kids' accusations and, oh, they're exaggerating, they read it wrong. But any sort of accusations a child brings to me, I'm investigating, and you keep away from him or her, period. And I know that it's really, it's harder when you do get the courage to go and tell someone that you trust and feel should be protective over you, then they turn around and whip your behind and say you're lying. You know, that's a cut and it's healing, and then they rip the scab off. It makes it worse. But even with that, you have to forgive your parent who gave you that spanking. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes we have to dispel things as being ignorant, out of ignorance. You know,
I don't mean to cut you off. All right, but
no, go ahead,
it's kind of hard to forgive. It's kind of hard to forgive your parents. You know, we all
do. I never forgave.
But if you're telling something that's real, truthful, and it's hurting you, and you get beat for it, and you know you're not lying about it, it's kind of hard to forgive your parents for beating you at that present time. You understand? Because now it's putting more pressure on you to make you feel like, okay, well, why did I tell? You understand?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I agree with you. But see, it goes full circle to what the topic is about that forgiveness. It's not for the parent. It's not for that victimizer, which the parent become part of the victimization because of their reaction to the whole situation. But it's for her to get past that. You know what I'm saying? You know, you got to look at some things. Sometimes people are going to hurt us. Sometimes they'll offend us. And sometimes you sit and go, I've done nothing to this person. Why are they doing this to me? But at the end of the day, you know what you got to say? Guess what? I'm a bigger person. I'm grown. I'm moving on with that. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to keep looking in the rearview mirror. You know what I'm saying? You keep looking in the rearview mirror, you can't see what's in front of you.
And you know,
hold
let me...
Hold on, hold, wait. Let me, I'm going to bring another caller in, Elijah. Then
okay.
You can go on, okay?
Go ahead, my brother.
All right. Hello, caller, are you there?
Hi. Hello, how are everybody?
Hey.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay, I'm going to let you go with your question, but Elijah was saying something, so we're going to let Elijah say what he had to say. Then you can...
No. Go ahead and let this speak. I'm good. But I just wanted to say, Rich, I see what you're saying, because you keep hitting on the fact of how difficult it is. And you know what? You're 100% right. It's not an overnight process. It's nothing that happens instantaneously. But the rewards and the benefits to the individual are far greater. They're phenomenal in that you will have a sense of freedom that you're no longer being mentally and emotionally raped by the individual through the forgiveness process, and that you can have future healthy relationships. So, yeah, you're right, my brother. It's nothing that comes easy. That's why it's one of the most difficult things to do. But the benefits from it are far greater and outweigh the negative consequences of unforgiveness.
Okay. We have a call on the line, and then we're going to take another call. Go ahead.
This is Kia. I was trying to look at the
Kia. Go ahead, Kia.
No, I'm trying to find the topic. I don't know the topic. I was trying to look for it.
The topic is the power of forgiveness and how it can benefit you mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally, and how unforgiveness, not forgiving, can harm you mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And
when you don't forgive that person, are you saying in that sense how
Go ahead. What we're saying or what we're discussing is how to forgive someone who has harmed you in any manner, whether it's physical, emotional, mental abuse. To forgive them helps to release you from the pain and anguish that you will go through each and every day in remembering that harm, and how it will free you and allow you to be able to have future healthy relationships, how it will prevent you from perhaps going to a state of depression, how it will prevent you becoming physically ill, because the way in which we think can control the way in which we feel. And there's a condition called psychosomata, meaning the mind can actually make you physically ill and cause various diseases. I mean, you know, sicknesses, heart disease, and we don't even have to get that deep with it. And the main thing is that how it can, that person is still controlling you 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, because we are holding on to the harm and the pain that they caused us. And by forgiving them, you're not really doing it to forgive them. You're doing it to free yourself.
Well, I can't speak on, I can speak on somebody that I know that's close, maybe old, quite older than me, but I've seen what she's been through. No, I cannot forgive the person that did harm to her. I'm the type of person where, you know, I figure it's one time with me and that's it. I have not yet forgiven this person. I've seen this person go through come from whatever state she has been through to come to the other that most for heartbreak, for heartache, because of words, what people can say to her. I've seen this person crumble beyond crumble, and I looked up to this person. I'm not related to the person, but I'm related to the person who did the assaulting, not physical, but mental. And I see him at their reunions, family function, everything, and this is something that I'm not wrestling with it. That's something that nobody can judge me on. Only God can judge me on, but no, I won't forgive him in due season, probably, yeah. But I don't worry about somebody telling me what care, you know, if you don't, whatever. No, I know what the Bible says. I know God, you know, God would understand. That's something I got to take to him. That's something that only I got to deal with. But
right.
No, I'm not. That's something tough that, you know, you can forgive somebody when you see somebody who went through into a state of depression, almost took her life from this world. From somebody from mental capacity, and to see this as a, you know, I guess for 12 years old and growing up and seeing this person hurt by this person, and she's not even, you know, she was family by marriage, but that's tough when it comes to beginning. But I don't, you know, you hear people talk about, oh, put it aside, kids, and like, you know, they, you know, whatever, and due season. I always tell somebody in due season. I don't worry about somebody come try to get come to preach to me or tell me. I know what the Bible tells me, so I know what God, you know. In due season, I'll be able to forgive that person.
Right,
but right now, no, I am not going to forgiving stage.
Hold on for a minute. We're going to bring in another caller. Hello, caller, are you there?
Hello, everybody.
Hey.
Hello.
I want to say this is a great topic because I can remember when I was coming up as a kid, you know, to hear about molestation or anything, it was sort of foreign. And, you know, it's still happening today. And, you know, I guess the kids or whoever is happening to haven't been empowered to, you know. And I always wonder, what can we do to empower our children, you know, to let them know if this is happening to you. And, I mean, Tam, your story touched me. And I thank you for sharing it. And I just wanted to just touch on forgiveness a little bit and say that the greatest example I can think of is how many times we have to go to our Father and ask Him. I'm not judging anybody because it's got to be hard. And I'm going to end, you know, how many times we have to go to our Father asking for forgiveness over and over and over and over. And how many times does He continuously take us back, forgive us and everything. But I did want to ask Brother Elijah, what is the steps in truly, truly forgiving somebody? We can say with our mouth all day, yes, I forgive, but what are the steps? I mean, I know if you're forgiving that you're not still bringing it up, but what are the steps to true forgiveness?
Okay, well, there's a threefold process. There's a threefold process, and it's a process called acknowledge, accept, then forgive. So you're not just off the back talking about, okay, I'm going to forgive them. Because some people, especially children, have a unique way of blocking out the memory, and it'll resurface at a later time. So if we're talking about that, first you have to acknowledge that it happened. Some people go into denial. They want to say it didn't happen. Tam was growing up in an era where it was taboo for the family to talk about issues like that, and they're worried about the you know, the reputation of the family, et cetera, et cetera. But first you have to acknowledge that it happened. Then you have to accept that there's nothing I can – okay, then you have to say, can I change it? Is there anything I can do to take back what this person has done for me? And hopefully you will come to the conclusion that you can't. So this helps you lead into a state of, well, why am I stressing over this and why am I going through all of this if I can't change it? So you acknowledge that it happened and you work through that. That may take some time.
All right. Hold on for a minute. Elijah, I want to bring in another caller real fast.
Okay.
Okay. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
This is a great topic. There's so much that I could possibly say, but I'm going to try to narrow it down. Actually, a lot has already been said. There are so many families that are in denial. So many people that, you know, have gone crazy because of, you know, what has happened. I'm gonna give an example of a success story. I have a wonderful cousin. She's an adult now, well over 30, and she got raped by a couple of her uncles. And I didn't know about this growing up, and I'm so grateful that I didn't have to endure it. I'm grateful that I wasn't in that household. I did see something wrong, but I didn't know what it was because I was so young. Now that we are adults and she's able to talk about it, she never told on anyone. She endured it. She, you know. Her mother and father both passed away. She ended up seeking counseling herself, and she's a mentor now. She aids, you know, and speaks in forums and helps a lot of people to get through this. So I'm grateful that you brought up this topic tonight, and that's all I wanted to say on it.
All right, thank you, sister. Thank you. You know, that's the main reason I kind of brought it up, because you know what Tam has done and what the other ladies who've spoken about it, what they've done, whether they realize it or not, is they've made it easier for other women, men, and children, or whoever, to talk about it, because oftentimes you feel isolated. You feel like you're alone, there's no one you can talk to, and you hold it inside, which is just not healthy. So no matter what the outcome, what has been done here is a great thing, because even if someone doesn't speak about it now, they will definitely, hopefully, go away thinking about it. And that's what you really want to create. You want to create an atmosphere where they're at least thinking about the process and what they can do to, you know, to take the pain away, to take the anguish away. And, yeah, so, you know, it's a good thing. And, you know, there's some men out there also who's going through the same thing. And like I said previously, because of the way society has conditioned us, we don't talk about it as much. But if you can go away here from this conversation, at least thinking about the forgiveness process and how it might help you to heal you, then, you know, I feel like a lot of has been accomplished.
All right, Elijah, we have another caller. I'm going to bring them on real fast, all right?
All right, my brother.
Hello, caller, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, you heard the topic for this evening?
Yes, I did.
Okay, what's your point of view on it?
I just want to say, you know, it's a great topic. You know, I work with kids who, most of them, have been abused by a family member. And to the extent of it was the mother's fiancé or the mother's boyfriend, and pretty much the mother chose the man over the child. So in return, they end up in a facility like the place that I work. Because they still can't, you know, cope with what happened. And these are teenagers from the age of 13 to 19. So I would like to know, what type of advice, you know, would you give, you know, a child who's going through it now? I mean, everyone here, you know, they're adults. And I know T had a situation that had occurred. And I think I heard other stories where, you know, they... you know, they know of people, but I know of at least a good five who are teenagers.
Right. Well,
you know,
what advice would you give?
I mean, you can't really say forgiveness,
right.
You know,
well,
at this point, because, you know, they feel like, all right, God has failed them because
right.
they allowed it, you know, he allowed
right.
it to happen.
Right. And that thought and that feeling usually comes from a place of self-blame. So you're right. You don't really approach the child in the same sense as an adult, but with a child and with a young adult, a young teenager, usually the most important thing to get them to understand is that it wasn't their fault. There's nothing that, in the case of the child who the mother chose the man over the child, a lot of times they internalize that. They say, well, she didn't love me. It was something I was doing wrong. They must hate me. So when you're dealing with the younger population, the first thing that you really want to get across to them is that it wasn't their fault. It was nothing that they did. It was the other individual. They were the sick one. They were the ones who perpetrated this crime, which is a crime, and that is not their fault. That they're a special human being. If they believe in God, you let them know that God does love them. And you know, but the most important thing with the younger population is to get to a state where they understand that it was nothing that they did wrong. That's the commonality amongst the younger population, is they all somehow feel that it's something
right.
wrong with me. There's something
right.
that I did wrong. So that's the approach you start with them. And when you can get them through that, see, it's baby steps. You know, it's a short show, so it's like I really can't elaborate as much, but yeah. So it's not like bam, bam, bam. No, it doesn't work like that. But the first process, once again, is you get them to a place where they understand there's nothing wrong with them. They didn't do it. The other person was the sick one. The other person was the one who had some type of illness or whatever they were going through, and that is not their fault. And when you can get them to that understanding, then you can move on to the next step. So you don't just go straight into forgiveness, but of course you got to go through a process, and that's the
right.
process you deal with your younger population, which is the same approach that I take, because I hear the same feedback that you're hearing with that population. You know, what's wrong with me? Why didn't she love me enough to keep me? Why did she choose the man over me? What
right.
did I do wrong? You know, so yeah, that's where you want to start with them. And then later on down the line, when you see that they're progressing in that area, then, you know, you like you feed a child, you feed them milk before you give them meat. And then you take baby steps.
Right. You know, the thing with it, sorry to interrupt, is the situation, though, is they're at the facility that I work at. It's a short-term facility.
Right.
So therefore, they come, and to be honest, they give them medication.
Right.
You know, and that's the cure, supposedly, to most of them. Where, you know, the parents will come and visit them, but with the parents coming to visit them, the parents is pretty much just calling them a liar and still making them feel like, you know what, it's your fault, you lied, you wore this, you did this, you know. So the parents, I can say a couple of things, but at the same time, the parents are, like, really beating it in their head that it's their fault and that they lied. So at the same time, it's kind of like, I'll still, you know, do what I've been doing, you know, but it's just, you know, when you have parents nowadays who are still beating it in these kids' mind that, you know what, it's your fault, you wore this, you did this, I don't believe you, you know, when they feel that way and they're still, like, constantly beating it in their head that, okay, this is what you did wrong, how do you help that?
Well, see, sometimes we have to, as we as the case managers and clinicians, we have to make the difficult decisions, because once they are delegated to your particular facility, you now have authority, but responsibility. And if you have an entity that's coming from the outside and constantly is drilling that negativity into the head, then you have to make the hard decision. And it's going to sound, you know, really hard, but you might have to limit the exposure that the child has to that parent. Because if the parent is the problem and the parent is the one that's not believing the child and calling them the liar and drilling that to the head, then that's counterproductive. So I see your dilemma. But then you,
right.
You as the clinician or as the facility representative, you might have to consider limiting that that exposure, and then you have to you know, what I often do when I hear that is I tell the parent that the parent needs to themselves participate in counseling sessions, you know, and if you're willing, then you have to make the bottom line is that the child is the most important person, so
right.
You have to do whatever you need to do to protect them, if that even means limiting their exposure to that parent, because the parent is not helping the situation.
Well, Elijah, you seem to be running out of time, but what I want you to do, I want you to give your final thought on this topic.
Okay. Well, my final thought is there's power in forgiveness. It's not an easy thing to do, but it does allow you, once you reach that state of forgiveness, to carry on with your life, to have healthy relationships. It reduces the possibilities of physical harm. And it also allows you to live a free and productive life. And not forgiving oftentimes leads, once again, to more destructiveness than it does to productiveness.
All right. Well, you know, Elijah, I really want to thank you for joining us. Is there any shout-outs you want to give or anything?
Well, I just want to give a shout out to, you know, to the GQ family, you know, because this forum, once again, I can't praise it enough. It's an excellent forum for people. You know, you've heard some people give their testimony tonight, and I'm not saying that there's not other places that they can do it, but they chose the GQ Palace to do it. And that's, I give a shout out to all of the young ladies and all of the callers who called in and who had the strength to talk about the things that have happened. And, you know, it's a process, and there's no right or wrong here.
Well, you know, Elijah, I want to thank you, and you're welcome. Anytime is never a problem if you want to come back on.
All right, my brother. Well, I thank you, my brother Rich, and keep up the good work, brother. And I see big and better things in the future for the GQ Palace. So you just hold on to your seats, because, you know, God's going to take you to higher places with this. I believe that.
Thanks a lot, Elijah. I appreciate that. All right. Elijah or Dons and Divas. All right. Coming up next, Ron Terry, up-and-coming artist. He's doing big things. He just won the Showcase Award for Mike Ice and MC tournament. He's doing big things. We're gonna come and find out what his inspiration and goals is in the music industry, and we're gonna play a couple of his smashing singles that's out right now. So stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment.
It's butter, baby.
show.
Yo, you know every time you come home, you got the merch something.
Stop! It's the motherfucking remix!
Come on. Yeah, Harlem is back.
Yes.
Who in the world want a problem with that? Come on, real. I heard Harlem is back.
You know we had to do
it. Who in the world want a problem with that? Come on. Yeah, Harlem is back.
Yes.
Who in the world want a problem with that? Come on, real. I heard Harlem is back.
You know we had to do
it. Who in the world want a problem with that?
I said my niggas don't dance. We just pull up a PS10. Do the rock away. Now lean back. Lean back. Lean back. Lean back, come on. I said my niggas don't dance. We just pull up a PS10. Do the rock away. Now lean back. Lean back. Lean back.
Yo.
Lean back.
Yo.
Come on.
You know a deja vu and a day y'all do. It'll be the day y'all bleed. Rich minus 80 degrees. King of Harlem, ain't nobody made me leave. Who else could take 5 years off? Cold turkey, come back and fly lids off. Cats front, leave them leaning like Smirnoff. If haters wanna hate, then it's their loss. Come up in the rucker with all my jigs on. Car grill so big, you can cook a steak on. People hear mace gone, wanna get their mace on. You a hot 16, I'm a very great song. They beating on the DJ before the mace song. You play Clark Kent, you better have your cape on. Plenty goons, mansion, mini room. My necklace, two X's and three Benny Booms. Lean back, lean back, lean back. Cause he's back, come on. Lean back, lean back. Lean back, just ease back, come on.
You don't want no problems with Harlem. You don't want no problems with the boogie down Bronx. You don't want no drama with the blonde bomber. Original Don Dada of the blonde bottle. The model for white America. Then Joe, the spokesperson for the Latino. Then we got made back to reveries and everything else in between, including the percentages of the rest we don't. The best from East Coast to Midwest to the dirty, dirty. Even further to Miami, all the way back to California. It'd probably be best right now if I won Dre. Get on the horn with him, tell him about the storm coming all our way. So tell a pal, grab a gal right now, get on the floor while I wait. Shake that ass a little more my way. But baby, I don't dance, not that I can't. There's a pistol in my pants, come on.
My niggas don't dance, we just pull up a PS10. Do the rock away. Now lean back, lean back, lean back. Lean back, come on. I said my niggas don't dance. We just pull up a PS10. Do the rock away. Now lean back. Lean back. Lean back, lean back, lean back,
lean back.
Come
on. It don't really pop, but I'm hot. I get out of safe spot, and anybody think I'm not, you found the big lot. You don't really wanna rock with the one chick who smokes Dutches for lunches. The Castle Hill, I ain't lunch chick. Nav's arrow for the terror squad. Fun prospect, sunshine, Getty cracking, Remy Ma. It's not a chick in this game, want it. My 16 so mean, put 20 G's in my chain on it. Quick to flip, I ain't the average chick. I'm packing a Mac in the back of the 45 past 6. And you know I got enough goons to crush the country. Any dude that's just back in punny, better plan to run, see you bring your mans and then we handle them. Then we go on Timberland, trample them. Then we pull the cans in them. Lean back, cause I ain't never worried. See, I'm for every glory, smacking up any chick in my territory.
My niggas don't dance, we just pull up a PS10. Do the rock away. Now lean back, lean back, lean back. Lean back, come on. I said my niggas don't dance, we just pull up a PS10. Do the rock away. Now lean back. Lean back, lean back, lean back, come on. No Judas, the Commodus, the King's brother Abel is able to stop me, nigga, not me. Got the streets asking, damn, who could top he? Summer Jam killed it, man, and did it all with one beat. I guess I'm bi-coastal now. Took a damn South brother to bring your boy out.
What? What?
As the wheel keeps spinning, I can hear niggas thinking, crack at one hit, then he out. Nope. Joey, bring them semis out. Force you and y'all's paw little Henny out. With so much rappers acting in the game, I had to tell them, put the mic away and run and go and get your Emmy down. Lean back, motherfucker. This here's a 3P. We back at the rucker. It's good, go crack. Preach it to your brother, the mic, more rap. And teach you, motherfucker. Think my niggas don't dance. We just pull up a PS10. Do the rock away. Now lean back. Lean back. Lean back. Lean back, come on. I said my niggas don't dance. We just pull up a PS10. Do the rock away. Now lean back. Lean back. Lean back. Lean back. Come on.
All right, Dons and Divas, welcome back to the palace. And with me right now, I have winner of the Mike Ice Showcase up-and-coming artist sensation, Ron Terry. Ron, welcome to the show.
Thank you, man.
Ron,
I appreciate it.
Yeah, what's going on, man?
What happened, yo?
I said, what's going on? What's going on?
I'm chilling, yo. I actually just got back from work. The phone keeps dropping the call, so hopefully it stays on this whole time.
Yeah, well, you know, things happen, so we ain't worried about that. Things happen. But, you know, he was the winner of the Mike Ice Showcase. So you're
yeah,
going GQ Palace now. You're on GQ Palace. You get put in the magazines. We're going to see how things work out because GQ Palace also started their record label, so that's going. Now, Ron Terry, how did you, that's your government name, the name your parents gave you, or was that something you thought of as you was going doing the MC?
Well, nah, my regular name is just Ronald Terry. I just, you know, everyone calls me Ron, and I don't feel like I need a name. Like, I'm not disguising nobody in my raps. Like, I'm just telling you who I am, so give me my real name.
Okay. Now, how long have you actually been rapping?
Been, like, really serious on a real grind about a year now when me and my brother-in-law started a team, a Killzone team. Now he manages me. But, you know, I was fucking around before that, just messing around, being with friends and shit. And then before that, I had the rock band. So actually, you know, like, rapping, just about a year.
Okay. Now, who would you say influenced you with that? Because I know, as far as I know, when you was younger, your father had made you play all the instruments. He had tuned you to play every instrument. Am I right?
Yeah. We went out to, like, Guitar Center or San Mage, one of those stores. And I just wanted to get a guitar, and he bought the whole shit. We had the drums, the bass, the keyboard, guitar. So I just, you know, I had everything in my hands. I might as well do something with it, and I just told myself how to play all of them.
Now, how old was you when you actually learned how to play all these instruments?
That age, I was about 15, 16 years old, doing, you know, teaching myself the instruments back then, and then I just kept sticking with it.
Okay, so now you're playing the instruments. You was also in a band, a hardcore rock band. Tell us about that.
I had a, you know, a little group or whatever. We started playing and shit. They played before me, so I was learning with them. And, you know, they kept teaching me. So then I just kept teaching myself, and I just kept doing it. We were in the band. A couple of months went by. That didn't work. Then my other friends from school, they started playing instruments. We formed another band, and I was in this band On Borrowed Time, and we were in there, you know, we were rocking out for a while, and then there was just disputes in the middle of it, and, you know, I had to let go of that and do my own thing, and, you know, they're still grinding, so shout out to them, but, yeah, I had to get off and do my own thing now.
Okay, now, you know, my condolences. I know your father passed. You know, he taught you the instruments and everything. But as he passed, you started writing poetry.
Yeah, I had,
Did you care to elaborate us on that?
Yeah, definitely. I had, you know, it was obviously a hard time, you know, in any kid's life. But, you know, my way to escape from a lot of things is just, you know, I write it down. You know, the paper don't yell back to you. You don't gotta, you're not fighting with nobody. That's just where, you know, I wrote down everything that was just flowing off my head, and then I just started making beats, and then I was just spitting over them, and that's basically how it formed out. Just kept doing it, kept rapping.
Now, if you could open up for any artist that's right now, open up a show for them, who would it be and why?
Any artist, I mean, really doing things, like probably right now Kendrick Lamar.
Who was that? I didn't hear you.
Kendrick Lamar.
Okay, that's something new. That's something real new. Now you got a lot of artists, they write. But with you, it's like a totally different concept. You got like your poetry that you put on paper.
Yeah.
And that's how you actually started writing rhymes.
That's when all the rhyming started.
You put it to the music, you put it on paper, and then you put it to the music, and that's how you actually got started writing.
Exactly.
So, as the fact that you know started writing this poetry, did you ever think about just becoming a poet, or something that you just going to stay with music? Because, you know, lyrics ain't nothing but poetry anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really hard with lyricism. I try, I put a lot of effort into my rhymes, and I like doing acapellas, regular by itself. Spoken word, I love listening to. I've been doing, this college thing, a couple of colleges on the tour, the Dean's tour. Shout out to Nigel, Trevor. But, I was doing that, and they had a lot of spoken word artists. And, it's cool to listen to them because when there's no beat, you're only focused on what the person's saying. And the way they play with words is crazy. But, I like doing the poetry thing, but just slowing it over a beat just completes the whole thing.
Okay, now, I want to get into one of your singles.
No doubt.
All right. I want to get into, They Gave an Emmy?
They Get an Emmy.
Yeah, They Get an Emmy, sorry. Why do you name this single that specific title?
I had this beat from my boy Trey. The beat, his beats, it's all emotion. Like, you can hear right in the beat, so you have to, have that mindset. So, hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead.
Oh, my bad. The phone's bugging out. I heard the beat, and what was on my mind, I started writing. And it's basically just about, phony rappers, phony artists these days. No one's really staying real. Real to hip-hop, real to who they are. Like, everyone's just trying to make it.
Okay. Well, we're going to get into that right now, all right?
No doubt.
All right, Dons and Divas. Here's his first single, They Get an Emmy, by Ron Terry. Remember where you heard it first, GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Antique. You lost yourself looking for wealth, materialistic visions was missing. You call for help, see the difference is you just want the money I needed to keep my mama eating. Your flows are paraplegic, I was sent to murder beasts, decrease rappers and increase seats. I'm hotter than summertime in the Middle East, wearing fleece capris with a torch beneath my knees and choke you with my local vocals so you have nowhere to breathe. Reppin' kill zone like a crib in a blue room with a blue shirt and blue pants and a blue head and blue shoes. I go hard, and my crew will take you to the lake and remake the words of the Godfather. Set you bait to a shark tank. Oh, I'm ready, dropping bombs like bombs is heavy. My crew riding like a Chevy, my words sharp like a machete. It's like these days we're giving MCs and ME for acting. If they ain't rapping, it ain't rapping, no. Oh, I'm ready, dropping bombs on top of artists who talking like they the hardest. Yeah, they lie like carpets in sight. These days we're giving MCs and ME for acting. I give you real life, I tell you what I feel like. My words turn into visuals when you sit down and hear right. My rhymes are playing Pictionary with a dictionary. Your military is forming every time I am recording. My mouth is a dragon, I'm wearing my pants sagging. Every verse that I drop is in the back of a black wagon. Now I walk out my house, nameless faces are staring. The top is what I'm not sharing, these rappers need some repairing. So get that bag roll, people saying the stag's old. So catch me skating with my pants down, bumping that soul. And now cats like Andre with light skin and tattoos. In the booth going nuts like cashews. I'm coming for the king like this my last move. No chess game, just resting on rappers who act cool. KD to the top, we run hip-hop butterfly. They feel it in their stomachs like fast food, you past due. Oh, I'm ready, dropping bombs like bombs is heavy. My crew riding like a Chevy, my words sharp like a machete. It's like these days we giving MCs and ME for acting. They ain't rapping, it ain't rapping, no. Oh, I'm ready, dropping bombs on top of artists who talking like they the hardest. Yeah, they lie like carpets in sight. These days we giving them season and me for acting. It ain't rapping, it ain't rapping, no, no. It ain't rapping, no, no. It ain't rapping, no, no. Yeah. Airplay, you better censor him. And now I'm out to get the estrogen. And these girls' pants, I pull them down like slides at casinos. We breaking up in C notes. You rocking with the East Coast. A team of ghosts in my establishment. Just understand the acronym. Don't act a friend. It happens when you start to make the dollars. Fame is coming like heat in the sauna. My rhymes are tight like a virgin, but no Madonna. A surgeon who's hurting certain persons who worship the worst. This is real rap, there's meaning in every verse. I'm planting my views inside the heads of adolescents, so one day one of my lessons will blossom and a kid will make change from just a sentence. I knew I had it when I first strummed the guitar, first hit the strums hard and I wrote my first bar. And rapping became a habit because of a tragic accident. If God took the life of my father, I want it back from him. I'm on my own too, stand in. It's Christ of belief, all fashion. So slit wrist and shed blood and show it all equal. Just be you, my third eye makes you see through. This is the last straw, I'm done waiting to buy things when the hair off. And soon I'ma be letting the cash talk. But for now I'm meeting rappers like Bear Saul till you man saw. Oh, I'm ready dropping bombs like bombs with Kevy. My crew riding like a Chevy, my wrist sharp like a machete. It's like these days we giving MCs and MEs for acting. They ain't rapping, it ain't rapping, no. Oh, I'm ready, dropping bombs on top of artists who talking like they the hardest. Yeah, they lie like carpets, it's like these days we giving them C's and them E's for acting. They ain't rapping.
Ron, you there?
Yes.
No,
yes.
Now, let me ask you, I'm feeling that, but where did you breathe? Because you was going in, and I hear you take a breath. I'm like, wow.
Yo, mad people tell me that.
But it's definitely fire. Now, who produced that track?
This kid, Trey. Right now, I don't know what's producing it because he changes it all the time. But my boy Trey, you'll see it on Twitter when I told him on Twitter. But he produces sick fucking beats, mad emotional beats. Like you can hear it, you feel it once you hear them.
Okay. Now, you have met somebody named Jesse Augusta.
What's the name?
The MC, Jesse Augusta?
Jesse Augusta.
He was actually. MC you first started rapping with?
Oh yeah, Jesse Acosta.
Acosta, okay. Acosta,
yeah.
Augusto. I know it's
yeah.
Us something.
he actually is the kid I go to right now. This kid Trevor lost his studio. I got into that studio through the kid Jesse, who I was just rapping with my boys, and then when I was with my girl at the time, I was meeting her friends. And then I met this kid, Jesse, and then, we found out he rapped. We just started making songs together, and people were feeling our tracks together. And, it was exposure for both of us out there, his cool friends, my cool friends. And, right now, we still talk. He's still doing his thing. Shout out to him. He's still grinding. But, that's what got me to my studio now, too, yeah.
Okay. Now, you was also with Lost Production.
Yeah, that's the kid.
Tell us about that.
That was, I went there. That's the kid, Trevor, Lost Studio. I went there and, first time meeting him, I recorded a couple of songs, and then I wanted to do my whole mixtape there. So I went there, I trusted his, his engineering, and he liked my whole shit, the whole tape I did, and he was part of a crew. He's making this crew, Lost Productions, his name is Lost. He's doing all the producing on the tracks and shit. He's got a lot of artists in there, so he collected his artists that he thought, were the best ones that came to the booth, and that was his collection of artists, put it from there. But we had no lead, no management. A couple of things, led to stuff that shouldn't have happened, and now everyone's where they are. But everyone's still cool. We go to his studio, everyone's still Red Bull studio. But, now that let his kills go now.
Okay, we have a caller on now for you. We're going to bring them on real fast, all right?
Okay.
Hello, caller, are you there?
Yeah, hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hey, your song was good. I'm with Rich. When did you take a breather?
I'm telling you, everyone's telling me that.
But the thing about it is that you didn't sound exasperated. You still maintained your composure and flow. I was impressed.
Thank you. Thank you a lot. I appreciate it.
And do you write your own lyrics and stuff?
Yeah, right. I'll never write some, I'll spit somebody else's shit.
What?
I'll never spit somebody else's shit. I'll give anybody else my runs. Like, I just write my own shit.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I need you to relax with the language. I have all types of listeners on the project, so.
So, how long you been rapping and writing?
For about a year now, like fully rapping, going hard grinding.
Okay, where are you from?
Queens, New York.
Okay, I'm from New York. That's what's up. Okay, nice. Well, keep doing your thing. You're doing pretty good. You sound good.
Thank you. I got a lot of stuff coming out, so
you
get a lot of new shit.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to bring on another caller. Okay, Ron?
Yeah.
Okay, I have all types of listeners, so I need you to, like, ease up on the cursing.
Oh, my bad, yeah, my bad.
All right, we're going to bring on another caller. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
You on the air?
Hi, how are you? I just wanted to say it was okay. You know, I understand you said you've been rapping for a year, and I'm sure there's a lot of improving you plan to do, right?
Hello?
Ron, you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
My bad. I think there's always room for improvement, you know what I'm saying?
You know, I'm not being rude or anything, but, you know, it's okay, but, you know, it's a lot of improving that can be done. But, you know, keep grinding and keep doing you know.
Listen, I know people have their own, you know, taste of music, not saying that everyone thinks, you know, everyone is the best or whatever, but... You know what I'm saying? I think I went hard on that song, and I accept criticism.
Okay.
You know,
that's what's good, too. You could accept criticism.
Yeah. You know, but like I said, you know, keep doing you know, and I'm sure you'll get there.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right.
We have another caller for you. We're going to bring them on. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
Hi. I like the concept. I like the swag. I'm not going to comment on the song. I'm waiting to hear more tracks, so I'm going to stay on and listen because I'm curious to hear, how, you know, the beat of the next song. I like music with a little more beat, a little more bass to it. And this, all I heard was just like him holding his breath. Underwater, and he'd be good to a great swimmer, you know, because he definitely didn't stop, you know, with the breath. So that I gotta get to. But the song, I didn't feel the song too well, but like I said, the swag and the concept I really do like. So I'm waiting to hear more tracks.
Thank
okay.
you.
And good luck with everything that you do.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Ron, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, yeah.
Hello? Well, I'm going to get back to you before we get into more callers. Now, your first mixtape, Born a Legend.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
That was the first time I was at Lost Studio. It wasn't like, I didn't really go hard doing it. It was kind of, I just started. Let me just put a couple of songs on a mixtape. And, you know, I recorded all, that was one day, recorded it all 2 hours, I think it was. Just went in the booth, I mean, and it was more like family and friends, you know, they're the type of people that heard it, and they were feeling it. And that's what kept me going with that mixtape.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, I'm going to bring another caller, but what I want to explain to you, I have no control over the callers. One thing about GQ Palace Radio is, they straightforward, you know, they let you know the truth about everything. So, you know, people do criticism. It's good that you can accept it because that's what you need. You understand? Not everybody's going to like everything. Some people are going to like something. You understand?
I know. Yo, not everyone can have a yes man.
Exactly. So it's good that you can accept criticism and everything. But that's what GQ Palace is about. That's why I love the people that call there because they straightforward and they're not going to bite your tongue and they're not going to tell you Okay, well, yeah, I like the song, knowing that they're not really crazy about it, which will put an artist in a bad situation. You understand?
Listen,
so it's good, you know, that
I
to
have,
get criticism from certain people.
Me and my other label mate, I say, my boy Mason, we both, you know, are hard lyricists. We really go hard. And my manager, he'll straight out tell us, like, this one says, you know, Mason's doing better than you. Like, you better step up your game. Like, and it just keeps us going. But you can't have someone telling you, you know, your stuff is, you know, that good that it can be somewhere where it can't be, because that's just going to
put
you in a bad spot.
Well, I give you honest, because you actually won the showcase, and I'm pretty sure the artist up there was going crazy, and you came in first place. So you understand, you're definitely doing your thing. But what I want to do right now is I want to bring on another caller, then I want to talk to you about your next single that we're about to hear, okay?
No doubt.
All right. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am, sir.
How you doing this evening?
I'm doing very well. How about yourself?
Okay. We have artist Ron Terry on.
Yes, sir.
How are
you, young man? How you doing, young
man?
How are
you?
All right,
doing good.
I'm not complaining. So not complaining at all, sir. I want to just say one thing in way of encouragement. I can tell from listening to you and listening to your talking that you're grounded. Just stay grounded and stay focused, and you'll always do your best when you do that. And don't allow folks to alter what you're true to.
Listen,
you know?
Exactly. That's exactly how it is.
Well, I know it's a difficult road that you're traveling, and you're gonna have folks out there trying to tell you, well, you know, I think you ought to go this way, go that way, or this is more commercial. But you gotta stay true. You know, you gotta stay true to you. And when you do that and stay grounded, then, you know, the odds are that you're going to be successful. And I don't see no reason for that not to happen. For you being a first-time artist, I was listening to the song, and like Rich says, you know, you didn't stop. You didn't even breathe. And that's difficult for somebody. I don't know how people understand. If they understand that breath control, that's not an easy thing. And the flow was there as well. So, bro, you doing just fine. I don't know how old you are, but you're doing just fine.
Thank you. I definitely appreciate those words, man. Thank you a lot.
You're welcome.
All right. Ron, I want to talk about your next single, White Collar Crooks. Tell us about that.
This is a self-produced beat. I produced it, and I just started, you know, I was flowing with this hook that I really wanted to put on it. I was thinking about having artists on it and stuff, but I just had this hook in my head. And I just kept right into it. And I didn't have a name. My manager actually came up with the name. So, you'll hear it in the words.
All right. Okay, so we're going to get into that right now. All right?
No doubt.
All right, Dons and Divas. Here's another banger by Ron Terry, White Collar Crooks. Remember where you heard it first. GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment.
It's butter, baby!
For sure.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
Looking in the eyes of a real MC, so everybody put your hands up if you feeling me. It's like I'm the microphone criminal with the visuals of a mountain tip. I am the sound of an atomic hit. You in the eyes of a real MC, so everybody put your hands up if you feeling me. It's like I'm the microphone criminal with the visuals of a mountain. The fountain of youth is pouring, I'm drowning. You can't be me. I swim and send the blocks tied to my feet in the deep sea with blood stains in my white tee. You ain't like me. I got no time to waste. I went to heaven's gates and picked the lock with the horn that I ripped off for the devil's face. Time to celebrate. We hella baked. We levitate. This is Mayweather to a featherweight. Yeah, you rock leather, but I'm leather face. Face it, you face the face with faces that you never face. but don't underestimate. We'll be in 10 meters where you can't be a minute late. Can't afford to lose it, the man in suits make you prove it, but it's all about the hustle, you muscle your way through it. They'll say the right thing, saying you'll be seen by the right eyes, but they just men in all black telling white lies. You gotta do it yourself, cause in the game everyone plays a part, but you got your own story to tell. Yeah, I'm looking in the eyes of a real MC, so everybody put your hands up if you feeling me. It's like I'm the microphone criminal with the visuals of a mountain tip. I am the sound of an atomic hit. You in the eyes of a real MC, so everybody put your hands up if you feeling me. It's like I'm the microphone criminal with the visuals of a mountain. The fountain of youth is pouring, I'm drowning. Can you breathe in stampedes where the Chiefs run half speed and the Indians go to their knees weak? I'm trying to speak through the youth. Don't follow a leader, just do you and let the outcome become too true. Frequently deacon my competition, enjoy the sneakers when speakers are bumping me. People stop and listen. True facts, homie. Move back, homie. You'll end up like a nigga after the chick hatched, homie. You cracked open, I'm smacked in a week and don't did a pack of bowl while you rolling. Siphon both, now I'm controlling the sky. I won't share, I'm too rare. My words are sharp enough to cut air. You don't compare, my phone is my computer chair. I kick back like Lupe in reverse. Hit the keys till my fingers hurt. Light a bowl of perp, get my creative juices running quick. Another snare hit. Find another instrument and put it where it sounds sick. You looking in the eyes of a real MC, so everybody put your hands. If you feeling me, it's like I'm the microphone criminal with the visuals of a mountain tip. I am the sound of an atomic hit. You in the eyes of a real MC, so everybody put your hands up if you feeling me. It's like I'm the microphone criminal with the visuals of a mountain. The fountain of youth is pouring, I'm drowning. Up here is where I wanna stay. Hope this feeling of being faded never fades away. Up here is where I wanna stay. Hope this feeling of being faded never fades away. My eye level is a skyscraper. Never settle for you to lie straight to my face, so when you do, I'ma come back with some facts that you didn't know I had packed. It's the way of life, everybody knows something about somebody and they swore they never tell. Till the safes get high and they raise hell, and the story won't sell, so you leak unleashed info. You got blackmail like Tyrese, believe ho, receive and release slow. Don't let it all go, that's the story of a backstabber. That's why I keep my mouth shut. There's no one you can really trust. You in the eyes of a real MC.
Ron, what's good, baby? You know what about your style? You know what it's like? It's like a Coogi rap. You know how Coogi rap? That's what I like about it. It's like a Coogi rap.
Yeah, I'm
feeling that. We actually have a caller on the line, so you're going to bring that caller on. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, you on the air?
Okay. Hey, Ron, yeah, I was just calling to figure out a couple things. I got a couple questions to ask you. Is that straight?
No doubt, yo.
All right, I'm an up-and-coming producer, and I just wanted to know, like, some of your feedback. Like, what kind of crowd or fan base are you trying to reach or relate to?
I really make music for myself. I mean, you know, like I said before, it's my escape. You know what I'm saying? I'm not writing to direct, you know what I'm saying? I'm not into show who I am. So whatever crowd that wants to bring in, then, you know, if you're feeling my music, you're feeling my music. That's what, you know, the type of crowd you are. I'm not really going for no commercial look. I'm not going for you to hear the song because the beat's hot. Like, I want you to hear what I'm saying. That's really what I'm going for.
Okay, that's what's up. I mean, I was just about to ask you, like, whose energy would you, like, compare yourself to? But you're just trying to do you, and that's completely fine. A lot of rappers don't do that. They just go for that, you know, that whole commercial look and feel. But how do you feel about, like, people's judgments to come to you as, like, being, like, the quote-unquote white rapper? Like, does that bother you?
What happened? Say it again?
I said, how do you feel that, like, you think people will judge you because you're, like, a quote-unquote white rapper or no?
I've got people tell me that, but whether they're joking or not, I mean, there's really no color in hip-hop, you know what I'm saying? You just... That's hip-hop is hip-hop. If you got it in you or you don't, there's no color to it.
True, I feel you. And do you plan on doing any shows, like, anywhere else other than New York pretty soon or not?
So, I mean, yeah, I've hit Connecticut, and we're trying to expand. You know, there's definitely shows upcoming in the future. Check out the Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter. You can follow our team on Twitter, Shows Only and Two. And definitely you'll see updates on there.
All right, word. That's what's up. What's your Twitter real quick? Shout it out for the people.
Ron.
No, he's going to give all that information. He's going to give all that information at the end of the show. But, you know, so you can stay on and listen. And you can also listen to his next track. Because, you know, I want to ask him some more stuff. Because I don't want to give out his information right now. Because it's more callers calling in. And he's going to have to keep giving it and keep giving it and keep giving it.
Okay.
Because I also have some more callers on the line that actually want to get back on.
Okay.
So, right. Just stay on the line. Just stay on the line. No, you can stay on the line. You know, you got any more questions? Information is going to be given out. You can give it out now if you want to again, but he's still going to give it out at the end of the show.
Oh, okay. All right.
So you can give it out.
Yeah. How do you feel like working with like other artists and stuff in the area?
That are not in the area. I think that's such a good idea. I mean, it's very exposing. You have different crews hearing different sounds from different areas.
Right, and then you mentioned like Killzone ENT. Who's that?
That's my management. My brother started it off. Killzone ENT.
Okay, that's what's up. All right, man. I appreciate your time and everything. Keep doing what
you
do. Yeah, sounds good.
Thank you for going up. Thank you.
No doubt. All right.
We have another caller for you. Ron, you there?
Yeah.
Okay, we have somebody else that's going to come back on. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead.
The question that I have is actually two questions. Well, one is just advice from a listener's standpoint. In your music, you are rapping so fast where it's good, you know, that you're able to rap without taking that breath and, you know, that step, that breath in the middle. But would you try taking the breath in the middle, giving people able to, like, grasp what you're saying versus the speed rap?
I totally understand what you're saying. I mean, these are just, you know, the two songs or three songs that we sent in. I have a whole catalog. Do a bunch of different flows. I like to play around my flow. I like to do a lot of different things with it. So, you know, when you just keep hearing music and posted, you see other songs posted, you definitely hear different things.
I can barely hear you. Say it again. I'm sorry.
I said that I like to play around my flow. So I have a lot of songs. You know, there's all different types of flows on it. Slow flow, something maybe you never heard before. Just, and, you know, I keep posting them. You see them on Twitter, on Facebook. So you definitely hear something different.
Okay. So that would be like the only, you know, like concern would be the fact that, like, you're not giving them a chance to, like, grasp what you're saying. Like, it seems like you have a good story to tell, but at the same time, you're trying to hear the story that you're telling, but you're saying it so fast. I mean, I call it speed rapping, but, you know, not a lot of people can do it, you know, and since you're a beginner, you know, with the rap game, maybe, like, just slow it down a tad bit, because I'm trying to get the story, you know, but at the same time,
I think not only a lot of people can do it, but I think a lot of people don't know how to listen to it. Like you have to have an ear for it, because a lot of people don't, you know, just stick to listening to that. But you know, like I said, there's a whole bunch of different things that I like to do around with this hip hop stuff. So you'll definitely hear a lot of different things throughout all the music.
But you do know, I mean, even with, you know, the comment you just said, you do know that when people are like rap fans, you know, where they can name rappers to you, you know, they're able to listen to it, but what you're doing isn't what they're doing. Understand what I'm saying? Like, you're not, you're speed rapping without like a full concept of letting people grasp it, you know, because I've been listening to rap for, oh my God, so long, and it's, I'm hip to the rap game, but it's like when I'm hearing your song, it's like, all right, it's okay, you know, but maybe he should slow down a little bit to let people understand the message that you're trying to get past, if that makes sense to you. You know, and the only other thing was, I think the caller had asked you, what age group are you trying to reach out to?
I mean, like I said before, I'm not really trying to keep that, you know, main age group that I'm really going for. I'm really just, you know, doing me. If you choose to listen to my music, then you choose to listen to it. I don't prefer little kids to listen to it, though.
I can barely understand you. I'm sorry.
I said I'm not trying to aim at, you know, an age group. I'm really just spitting my lyrics, spitting what I am. If you like it, then you like it. But I'm not trying to aim it towards little kids, because they really shouldn't be listening to it.
Okay, so then the answer is you're trying to reach an adult crowd. You're not trying to reach little kids.
Yeah, because you weren't.
Right? I mean, you just said that you weren't reaching an age group, but at the same time, little kids, I mean, technically, when you think about it, rap game, any type of music, the kids is listening to it. You know what I mean? And if you're not aiming towards the kids, then it's an adult crowd that you're trying to reach. You know, someone that can actually go to the store
know,
and buy your CD.
I understand what you're saying. I mean, like I said, there's a bunch of different types of music I have. I have music that the kids can listen to, you know, a teenage group in high school that will listen to or maybe motivate them to not go out, you know, and do the wrong thing on the street. Then I have songs for an adult crowd that kids shouldn't listen to. That's on some messed up stuff. Like, I have stuff for every crowd.
Okay, so you have stuff for all age groups then. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, we have another caller. I believe it's another caller that wanted to come on. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay, it is another caller. Okay, yes, you on the air?
Yes, I'm back at you again. I was there just a few minutes ago. Listening to that song, and it was intriguing to me because it seemed to answer what we were talking about in the way that I was trying to encourage my young brother about what he needs to stay true to, and he was just identifying that, you know, you're dealing with a real MC here.
Okay.
And so therefore, my flow ain't going to be what you're going to be looking for because I'm a real MC. And in order for someone to get to that and understand that, they're going to have to really want to listen because if not, you're going to miss it.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like that concept. I kind of like the way he came with that because he identified, what separates him from other MCs.
Okay.
Am I not right about that, young man?
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Am I right about that?
Yeah, you definitely, you know what I'm saying? You're hitting it on the point. I'm not trying to be rude to anybody. I know no one's trying to be rude back to me. It's just, you know, different point of views is what it is.
Right.
Exactly.
And the reason why I'm saying that, because you would think that I might not be able to pick that up because I'm well beyond your age. I mean, like, well beyond your age, and maybe well beyond the age of an adult that you think might be listening to that. I'm 60, bro, but I was listening, and I have an ear for things, so I picked that up, and I said, well, I see what he's trying to do there, and there's a distinction. You want to make certain that you stand outside of the norm or that model that they have for what people think an MC is or who they are.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are clones. A lot of them are nothing more than clones.
Everyone's just trying to do what the next person does.
Yeah, they sound alike. A lot
exactly
of them do.
It is. I'm not trying to be that same sound. I'm trying to be original.
And right, and even with the beat was totally different. I thought that was real smooth because that has some futuristic stuff in there. Some spacey stuff. You know, George Jetson stuff going on. That's what I heard. Now what do you know? You tell me what it was, young man, because it was your music. You tell me, but that's what I heard.
Wait, what the answer was?
Say it again.
What was the question?
I said, now, I explained to you what I felt that I heard in the music. But I'm asking you to tell me what was your concept behind using the beat and everything that way? Because it sounds futuristic, space age to me.
The beat, like I said, I produced the beat and I had it, and it is mad spaced out. That's what a lot of people first get.
That's
from
what
the
I'm
beat,
saying.
And it kind of it kind of drills you into it, makes you want to listen to it because your head's already in it because that dragged you in. Now you got to listen to what I'm saying.
Right. That's what I thought. And I'm saying, that's what I felt. That's what I heard. I said,
you got a good ear,
George,
thank you.
That's some George Jetson stuff. What can I say?
Right.
Very good, young
all
man.
Right.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Ron, I want to get into one more of your singles. Mason, and I think the title is Burn featuring you.
Oh no, this is off my boy's mixtape. Like I said, my boy Mason also down.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's also one of the Killzone.
Okay, so he did the mixtape for you. Okay.
Yeah, this is from his mixtape. It's the song Burns on the Radio, Meek Mill and Big Sean. That beat, we wanted to take one of those beats that everyone, you know, it is a dope beat, but you know, everyone's feeling that song because it's so popping on the radio. But you know, we wanted to show you what lyricists can do over it.
Okay, so what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna get into that single, and then we're gonna come back and we're gonna take some more callers.
No doubt.
All right, Dons and Divas. Here's one more single by Ron Terry, Mason Burns. Remember where you heard it first, GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
God. Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
Trevor, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Dozone ENT. That's who we are. New flows are caught while I gotta rock those new shows. I'm not just another hot new youth clone. I got a cool tone, but I can reciprocal to end a matter of seconds. You have entered the lesson, the boots you all willing to step in. Better be left like a villain with given redemption. Bitch, I'm out of this world, bitch with low curls. Tell her to suck on my dick till it twirls. You missing your girl? Then fill out an application, listing all of her traits. And just maybe you'll find your baby in a list of chicks. It's a dirty dick inside my basement now. Creator's mind, my thoughts are never vacant. Keep the hating now. I'm getting spins on underground radio stations. They keeping my songs playing cause I spit real. You pretend to, you put a fence up for defense so I don't offend you. You acting like that's gonna stop us with your choppers and your shotters. When we come to your hoodie, you really don't got them. What is the problem? Either you're faking, you're making it up for the fame, but it's all the same. My team is raving away, so I'm trying to keep up the pace. Bitch, I'm sleeping on you lame, so get a pillow and a blanket. Pop a pill slow, smoke dank shit. Six shots vodka, don't chase it. Let me take an Advil, this hangover is bed still. Better keep that bed sealed. I'm high the opposite of how my sex feels. Keep the party going, we in our zone and got two sisters in the back that look like clones, and now we're motorboated. A square pair of double D's, I dare them to get on their knees. Pull back their hair, tie up their weave. They left with my babies on their teeth.
Just wanna talk, fuck they gon' say. The same shit I heard yesterday. Ask the blunt, loaded dark and place the gun. Don't judge a book by its cover. I could have a joke, a smile, and be in denial that my mind is a bounty hunter.
Don't go touch that mic, you really wanna see another fucked up night. In a booth with a beat and a pad and a reason to crash. A team of elite street cats to blow up, dynamite, crush it like a dynamite. Your sentences ain't coming together like your words fight. My shirt hurts, wife, I curse worse than an M verse about a bitch he don't like. It's not a diss, so don't insist, I'm starting shit. Rewrite what I write, I keep the light with the pipe and the iced tea cup with the ice, freezing it up to please me right. Now roll that slip, hold up that bitch, hold up she's with photos with no clothes and vision. Somehow you know ho, I'm about closing the windows and smoking out the whole place. A lyricist who wants a video with ass is shaking in his face.
Bitches wanna talk? Fuck they gon' say. The same shit I heard yesterday. It's the blood, reloading dark and plastic gun. I'm trying to say don't judge a book by its cover. A joke, a smile can be in D now that his mind is a bounty hunter.
Pushed on, now you enter the game. On your leg is a ball and chain, and you have to spend your life and the money you earn to get out of the maze. So why am I good so early? Why am I graded rapid? It says that you see, so when I push start, I start at the end of the labyrinth. That's how I see my life. Michael Myers without the knife, the United States without the stripes. That's how I feel without a mic. So don't test me, just help me try to prevent the end of the world. So next year I could be riding in a Bentley. But if the flaming rocks are crashing and tsunamis get to slash, the tornado spinning and the ground beneath our feet begins to crack, man, I'll be riding on the back of a Kraken, making sure people hear me rapping like a savage.
Fuck it, old shit.
Wow. I'm feeling that now. That was all you?
No, that was me and my boy Mason going back and forth. We did back and forth verses, then the hook, then I had a full verse, then the hook came in, then he had a full verse.
Y'all went in. Y'all definitely went in.
Thank you a lot.
Now, the second mixtape was Walk With Me Part 1. Tell us about that.
That was, you know, I put the title Walk With Me because a lot of the songs is, you know, a walk through my life. I give you a lot of stuff that's personal to me. And then, you know, I give you some joints that you can just bump, you know, you can really vibe to. But that was the one that I really grinded with. Born a Legend, I didn't really grind that hard, really, like I said, it was starting off. And then Walk With Me came out, and that's what, you know, my brother-in-law came to me, he heard that mixtape, and I was really going hard with it. And people were feeling that we took things on the management, still on the scene. Now I'm riding out with that, and now get ready for my next mixtape coming out and go download Nathan's mixtape Behind the Hip Hop.
All right, well, we have another caller for you. We're going to bring them on. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. What's up, man?
Yeah, what up?
Nothing much. Do you, I have a question. Do you, consider yourself an MC or rapper?
I like to consider myself as an MC. I mean, I feel like I put a lot of work in, and, you know, I actually just watched that documentary, The Art of Rap, and, you know, a lot of that explained it to me, you know, between an MC and a rapper, and, you know, I gotta say, like, I really go hard for this hip-hop stuff, and that's what MCing is all about, you know, grinding, being true to yourself, being true to you.
Okay, well, you know, I was listening, you said that, you just doing you. Excuse me. You said you're just doing you, right?
Yeah.
Well, what about the people that's out there listening, you know, trying to get with it? You know, you want to get paid, right? One day.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm doing this stuff because, you know, I have such a love for music. I know the money's going to come with it, you know, if we grind hard enough and get there. But, you know, right now I'm just striving and I'm hungry right now. That's what it is.
Yeah, well, you know, pick it up, bro, you know, and get a little bit more into it, and you should get there, you know.
Thank you, man, I appreciate it.
Where do you plan on being in the next couple of years with your beat? Do you plan for them to be deeper and where, you know, you can really just get into it, like, I mean, what's your plans in the next couple of years?
Well, I mean, I'm always going to be grinding, you know, whether I'm at the top of my game or not. But, you know, I'm always, I'm not really looking for an accomplishment or a goal, because there's never a stopping point where I want to say, you know, I succeeded, because then I know that's the stopping point. You know what I'm saying? There's always room to go higher.
All right. Well, you know, pick up your work and keep grinding, dude.
Thank you, man. I definitely appreciate it.
Yeah.
Hello, Ron?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Now, you got with your brother-in-law, excuse me, and y'all developed, the interest of going with Killzone Entertainment. Tell us about that.
I mean, he had the set name already, you know, Killzone 1L, and, you know, like I said, he was just, you know, he heard my music, and I was really grinding. And he actually came into my room, and we were talking, and we shook hands on it. It was December of two years ago now, 2011. And we just stuck with it. And then we seen my boy Mason. He was doing his thing, started off as a singer. And he came into the booth, he started rapping. And now you heard him in that song, Burn. You know, he's got bars. He had his kid, Joe D. He came to one of the showcases, he did his thing. You know what I'm saying? Now we're grinding.
Oh, you definitely doing your thing. Ain't no question about it. Now, have you ever came across the point, because you won in the Mike Ice Showcase, right? Was there any other showcases that you did?
Yeah, I did. We actually had our own Killzone competition. We did that thing. And then I did a couple of other shows. I did a competition in Connecticut, and I came in second place in that. And actually now I have another competition the 16th and another competition the 17th for $2,000.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you ever come across a point of time where you felt stage fright?
when I first started doing the rapping thing, because I, you know, I've been performing when I was in the band, I was doing a bunch of performances, so I liked being on stage. It was just, you know, it was just I liked that's where I can, you know, I can be myself and I can just express myself through my words. And, you know, I was doing it with the rock thing, and then I started doing the rap. And in my first couple of shows, you know, I kind of had, you know, my stomach pains and stuff. But, like, I'm just so, you know, I'm just so used to it now, and I feel like I have to be up there, like, you know, every day. It's just a good feeling.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I want to tell you it was an honor having you on. You understand? I want you to give the people all your information, your Twitter, your Facebook, give them all that.
No doubt. First off, thank you. I definitely appreciate it, you know, for letting me come on here, give me an hour. You can catch me on Twitter at Ron, R-O-N, underscore Terry, T-E-R-I, underscore music. That's my Twitter. You catch my team's Twitter, Killzone ENT, one L, one word. Hot New Hip Hop, Ron Terry. YouTube, Ron Terry. Mason, you can search on there on YouTube, Hot New Hip Hop. You can get me on Facebook, Ron Terry, my regular Facebook, Ronald Terry. Terry spelled T-E-R-I, one R, one I. And Reverb Nation, you can catch me at. That's an Instagram, but that's too hard to spell, so I'm not even going to bother saying it. All
right. Is there any shout-outs you want to give or anything?
Yeah, I want to shout out. First, I'll shout out my manager, Jamie. I'm on his cell phone right now. It's my cell phone. It's garbage. Shout out my whole team, you know, Mason, Joe D. Shout out everyone listening. Shout out my two sisters, my mom, everybody. And shout out to you, y'all. I definitely appreciate you, y'all, giving me the time on here.
No doubt. And you know, you're welcome back anytime. It's never a problem. You know, because one thing about GQ Palace, we don't discriminate on anything. We have no control over the callers, but it's the fact that the callers giving a truthful response, and that's what it's all about. But you did your thing because you won that showcase and that dough and everything, so you must have did something.
Listen, man, I had mad fun just now, you know, doing this. I had a good time, you know. I like when people, you know, give me an honest opinion and make me want to work harder.
No doubt. It was definitely an honor having you on, Ron.
Thank you, man. Thank you again.
All right, Ron Terry, Dons and Divas. All right, coming up next, we have one of the biggest promoters in NYC, Robert B. Cruz. And we're going to talk to him and find out what he got going on next. He also do the comedian showcases and all that. So stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment.
I just wanna see you drip, girl. Take your time with it.
right, Dons and Divas, welcome back to the palace. And with me right now, I have promoter Robert V. Cruz. Robert, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What's going on, Rob?
I'm chilling. I'm good. How are you, Rich Money?
I'm all right. You know, I really want to thank you for taking this time out to join us. I know you're a real busy man, and you got a lot of things going on.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
Anyway. Now, first I want to ask you, because I want to also talk about this big event you got going on. I think it's the, what is it, the promoters versus the comedians, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, it's a basketball game. It's at the Kennedy Center in Harlem. It's called the Tiebreaker.
Mm. Now, I'm going to get into other questions, but let's get into that, you know, while we're on that subject. What actually made you decide to do this event?
Well, actually, this is the Tiebreaker. This is the third event. I did two last year, I believe, one in January and one in April at the same venue, the Kennedy Center on 34 West 134th Street. And what made me do it is that, you know, I have a love for basketball and I have a love for comedy, so I figure if I marry the two, you know, it'll be fun for everyone.
All right. I feel you on that one. Ain't no question about that one. Now, how long have you actually been doing promotional events?
Well, I've been on my own for about 3 years. I started December 2009. I did a comedy show at the Magic Johnson Movie Theater in Harlem. So that was my first event.
And do you do them solo or do you join with other promoters as well to do your events?
Most of the time I do solo, but I have collaborated with other promoters on a couple of events.
Now, let me ask you, the fact that you being a promoter, and y'all know you doing your thing hard, heavy, and you're on your grind crazy as you're doing it. Now, because you're like everywhere in NYC, so has it ever been a time where you came to the point where, okay, I'm just going to relax right now?
Nah, promoter's job.
I'm doing a promotion, I'm just going to relax. Did that time come, or do you see yourself just doing this a couple of more years down the line?
Nah, this is something that you love. You got to love it because it's so much work. It's a 24/7 grind. And once you get in, it's like a bug. You're hooked on it. You know, it's something that's in you. It's just so much work and energy involved. And, you know, if you're really passionate about it, you leave it all out there. So, I mean, I started late in the game, you know, but I still love it nevertheless, you know, so.
Do you feel doing promotional events is something you can make a career out of?
Me personally, no, because I started too late. Plus, I have a main job. I work for New York City Transit Authority, so this is something I do when I'm not doing MTA, you know?
Oh, okay. Now, let me ask you this question, because, you know, I had quite a few promoters on, Black Silk, Swag Al, and I always got to ask this question, okay? Do you feel that a relationship is something for a promoter?
Oh, wow, yeah, that's big.
You know, that's the first thing all of them said, too. So, you know, I like to get every promoter, you know, opinion on that situation.
Yeah, that's big because it puts so much time and effort and energy into it. And, you know, you're around the ladies and this and that. And you know, if you do have a significant other, a lot of times she's not going to understand. It's just so much time and energy put into it and money and stuff. That it's really hard to maintain a stable relationship with it. You know, you got to really have your stuff together.
Yeah, because, you know, you got the females coming out at you, and with the girl promoters, you got the guys coming up at you. Now, let me ask you a question. How do you feel about a female promoter? Do you feel like that's something that they should be doing, knowing the scenery about and how males going to come up at them? And everything, do you think that's something for a female promoter as well, or you think it should mainly just stay, not to sound like a double standard, you know, a hypocrite or anything like that, you know, but do you think a female promoter should be more involved than a man?
I personally would prefer it. I mean, because a woman's going to be about her business. She's really not going to get sidetracked as much as the fellas. I feel in this comedy game, there's a lot of females, you know, that come to the comedy shows and this and that, so there's constantly women that you're around and this and that, so it makes it a little harder. You know, female promoter, she's going to be about her money, I think, a little more than the fellas. She's not going to get sidetracked or mix the business with personal. So I think a female would be very well in a promotional game because, you know, they're mainly about their business. They're focused.
Mm. All right, we have some callers. We're going to bring them on real fast for you. All right?
Okay.
Hello, Paula, are you there?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you. Does your work interfere with your family, your family time?
Unfortunately, it has. I'm still trying to adapt. I've been doing this for about 3 years. And it's so time consuming and a lot of energy and effort. And as I stated, I do have a primary job, which is MTA. You know,
wow.
So yeah, it does interfere, but you just have to try to balance it. You know.
Right. Oh, okay. And you've been doing this how long? You said.
3 years. I started December 2009.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Thank you.
So it seemed like you've already did a lot of work already in the 3 years.
Yes, I have. I've done a couple of shows at Magic Johnson Theater. I was at the Gallery in the Bronx for about a year or so. I was at Sam's. I've done some spots. I've been pretty busy in the game.
Oh, okay. Well, keep your grind and keep doing you.
All right. Thank you much.
You're welcome.
All right.
Hello? Hello, good evening.
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi.
I thought Rob was going to say something.
I have a question.
Wait, I think we lost Rob.
No, I'm
here. Oh, because I was like, wait a minute. All right.
I have a question.
Yes.
We on Strong Island, are looking for some entertainment. Have you ever done any shows or parties on Long Island? If not, do you plan on doing any shows or, you know, parties on Long Island?
Well, I don't know if I could get my bass to come out that far. I would love to. If there's any Long Island promoter out there that's interested in doing comedy or whatever, I'll be more than happy to collaborate with them. They can definitely reach me. My name is Robert V. Cruz, and they can hit me at 917-744-3485. If you know any promoters that's interested in bringing some comedy in, out to Long Island, please have them holler at me.
I definitely will. It sounds interesting. Yeah, we are definitely looking forward to having some type of entertainment better than what we have in the new year. So if all goes well, we will be seeing you on Long Island then.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck with all that you do, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you also. Thank you again.
You're welcome.
Now, No, that's what I didn't tell people as well, Rob, that you do the comedians. Now, what actually made you want to do your promotion for comedians?
Well, actually, I started, I was a ticket seller for Ray DeJean, you know, who used to work for Video Music Box. And he used to do comedy at the movies in Brooklyn in the Linden Movie Theater, Linden Multiplex out in Brooklyn. So I used to sell tickets for him, and I was around the comedians, and I watched him do his thing, and I just fell in love with it.
Mm. So and from there, just grasped on to just doing the comedian.
I decided to branch on. After that, I got with another group called R&B Entertainment. We used to do comedy at the Dugout, which is located across the street from Yankee Stadium. And they gave me a bigger role, and it was still being around the comedians. And, you know, my passion just grew even further. So after that, the next step was to go out on my own.
So now you're doing comedian events. Is there any chance for you to do the party events? That's something that you work on later on down the line.
Well, my first and foremost love is comedy, but I have done parties. I do all kind of promotional things. I do bus rides. I mean, I try different things and go outside the realm, like this basketball game. But my first love is comedy. But I'm also a promoter for Bigger and Better Things Entertainment, and they specialize in dance parties. So I've been down with them for about a year or so.
All right. We have another caller. I want to come on the line and ask you something. Hold on.
Okay.
Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi. Happy holidays.
Thank you. You too. So,
where are you going to, do you, you play in New York?
Yes, I do.
Have you been to Caroline's or any of those places?
No, I haven't been to Caroline's. I've been mostly uptown, the Bronx and Harlem.
And, oh, where in Harlem?
I've done the Panache Supper Club. That was around, that was about a year or so again. That's on 125th Street, and they've closed down. But I did a one-man show with Rob Stapleton and myself and a couple of promoters, and that was big. And mainly the Bronx.
Okay, let me ask
you
a question.
I did two Magic Johnson Theater shows in
Oh,
Harlem.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh, okay. In your comedy routines, who do you usually target in your routines?
Well, I don't have a routine. I don't do comedy, but I try to get the best comedians. But I don't do comedy. I get the comedians. I'm the promoter.
Okay, but what type of comedians do you look for? I mean, you have some who are funny, like, you know, but then it's the ones who might attack their audience. You know those types, right?
Yeah, well, some of them, they make that as part of their act, and some of them, you know, they respond to different comments or different things. But my target, I mostly pick, you know, the best comedians in the New York City area. Most of the cats that I deal with, you know, they've been on TV and movies and different things you've probably seen or heard of them. So, but that's I mean, basically that might be part of their routine. Some of them will mess with the audience and some of them won't.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Just checking.
All right.
Just checking. Okay. Well, it was really nice hearing you put your work out there. You sound like you got your act together. How long you been in your business?
I've been doing this for 3 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that's not too long.
I'm still growing.
Okay.
All right,
well,
thank you.
I wish you the best in your endeavors, and you seem like you're well put together. You articulate pretty good, too.
Well, thank you very much.
And I would really like if you can let us know when your shows and where they're going to be. I'm interested in seeing one. I like comedy.
Okay, well, I have a comedy dance party on Saturday, January 26th. It's with Bigger and Better Things Entertainment. It's at a spot called Albella's down by City Hall.
Okay.
That's on 10 Reed Street. So that's Saturday, January 26th, and Sunday, January 27th, I have my comedy basketball game, which is in Harlem, and that's called a tiebreaker. That's 4 o'clock, and that's at the Kennedy Center. That's at 34 West 134th Street. So that's
okay.
The next two things I have coming up. So I will give you my name and number if you can reach out to me, or you can hit me on Facebook under Robert B. Cruz or on Instagram under R. Diddy 1.
Oh, okay. All right, thanks.
Okay, thank you. Enjoy the holidays.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, Rob, have you ever came across to where you had to deal with certain promoters because of the jealousy? And if so, even if not, how would you deal if you was in a situation like that?
Well, I haven't really hit my mark yet, so I don't know if they've been jealous of me, but this business has a lot of egos, and it's a dog-eat-dog world. The comedy game is even harder. It's a harder animal. There's not too many comedy show promoters in New York. So I haven't really dealt with jealousy that I know per se, but there are a lot of egos involved. And, you know, you got to be really independent and real strong because nobody's going to help you but yourself, you know?
Yes, and see, that's what I mean, because you actually have, believe it or not, the upper hand on a promotional event scene, because you do the comedy, and then after the comedy, you most likely have a little something after the comedy. Am I right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you like a step above them. You understand? Because you got two events going on in one at the same time.
Yeah, I definitely try
I mean?
To give the people their money's worth, and it's not just like, you know, I love music too, so. You know, as I stated to you earlier, you know, my whole thing was to marry the comedy with the basketball. But, I mean, my other love is hip-hop, you know. So, I mean, to put the three elements together and you know, I'm in heaven. This is what I like, you know.
Now, let us know some of the spots that you already had events at. and then tell them what else you have going forward. You got anything after the 26th and the 27th, or is that mainly it?
Well, there's more after that, but as I stated, I did the Magic Johnson Theater twice, December 2009, and I believe in June 2010, I've done the Gallery Lounge, it's on 26 Bruckner Boulevard in the Bronx. That closed down. I did that for about 2 years. And I was also at the Rib Bar in the Bronx on 160th in Washington. I've done a lot of little things. I've collaborated with a few people. And I just finished a 6-month stint with OZ Tavern. I did the Comedy Cozy at the OZ Tavern. And that was from August up till now. We're thinking about starting back up in February. But that's on 256 East 138th Street in the Bronx, the OZ Tavern. Shout out to Prince and Sean. So right now, that leads me up to now, you know, which is the events that I stated earlier. But I also have been working with the Magic Johnson Theater with the Smokey Suarez Project. So shout out to Smokey Suarez. He does a comedy show at the movie theater. It seems to be every other month. And I help him with that, although that's not my event, but I'm a big part of that.
Okay.
Yeah, now, so I got my hands full.
Yeah, I know. I know. It sounds like it. Made me tired. Just saying. Damn. Now, what's the worst thing about being a promoter in your field and division?
Well, the worst thing right now, it hasn't really. I haven't seen the financial benefits. I haven't seen the real glory as of yet. You know, it's been a lot of work. It's been an uphill grind. And that's basically it. I see some people, they might take shortcuts or they make the game a little harder by cutting corners. You know, my thing is that I want to put forth a quality product all the time. So, you know, I want the best DJ, the best comedians, the best venues, the food. The bathroom's got to have toilet tissue. Everything's got to be right, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And That's just the way I am. So I put a lot of effort and money and time and energy into what I do. And sometimes if you don't cut corners, you don't see that gain at the top, you know. But it's coming.
Wow, you definitely got it going. So the worst thing about being that's what you feel is the worst thing about being a promotional in your business.
I mean, when you're starting out, you're not going to see the money off the top, you know. If you got to put in the work first. And, I mean, it's really not too much worse thing. Like, if it's what you want to do, you know, my joy is seeing the laughter, the people enjoying themselves out there. You know, that's the ultimate right there.
Wow. Now, how hard is it for you to get somebody, because, you know, you got to go through the fact of getting people to sell the tickets for you, getting people, how do you go about trusting these people to give them these tickets that you spent your money for? Because, you know, you can't trust everybody.
Yeah, that's the battle in itself right there. I mean, the most important aspect of this, and I guess all games in the entertainment business, is selling the tickets, getting the people to come out. So it's hard. I have a pretty good team. You know, Robert Dominique, Enterprise. I got, you know, a few people that's been down with me for a minute, you know, and they put in the work. But, you know, mostly it's me doing what I have to do. So shout out to my team, you know, Regina, JC, Jarek, Big G Entertainment, you know.
You're definitely doing it, yo. You're definitely doing it. You know, I want to thank you for joining us. But what I want you to do, I want you to give them all your information, because my lines is lit up. So I need you to give them all your information. Let them know how they can get the tickets, where they can get the tickets, what events you got going on, how to get in touch with you, what number to call to get in touch with you. You know, if you want to fill them in on a couple of events that you had in the past so they know how deep and how serious you is about this and how big you are, you could do that as well.
Okay. Sounds good. You ready for me to go?
Yep, it's all yours.
Okay, Robert V. Cruz. I could be reached on Facebook. That's Robert V. Cruz, C-R-U-Z-E. I could be reached on Instagram, rdiddy1, R-D-I-D-D-Y-1. My phone number is 917-744-3485. As I stated, I have a show Saturday, January 26th at Albella's, 10 Reed Street, City Hall area. That's with Bigger and Better Things Entertainment. We got a comedy dance party, and DJs Super Dave and DJ Ty Boogie will be doing the music, and I'll be providing the comedians. And then Sunday, January 27th, 4 p.m. at the Kennedy Center. That's 34 West 134th Street across from Harlem Hospital in Harlem. I got the tiebreaker. I got the comedians versus the promoters. I got DJ Lady D. Wells doing the music from 98.7 Kiss Fame. I've got comedian Smokey Suarez hosting the comedians. And I got my boy, Baby Boy Hassan Oliver. He's the host of the event. And we got a dollar off of each ticket's going to be going to the Alzheimer's Association. So we got free food, we got music, we got comedy, we got basketball. It's going to be great.
Wow, yeah, you're definitely doing it. We definitely going to try to get there. Now, is there any shout-outs you want to give or anything, Rob?
Shout-out to my sponsors, Kimoni Ice, New York City Young Star. Shout-out to my Fly Design Cap, Flawless Bay. Shout-out to the venues, Albella's, Sam's Soul Food, OZ Tavern, of course, and the Kennedy Center. Much respect to them. And to all the people that supported me and continue to support me, you know, Robert Dominic Enterprise, we're going to be making noise in 2013. We got big things going on. And just shout out to all the positive people. Much respect.
All right. Yo, Rob, I want to tell you it's been an honor. And you welcome back anytime. All you got to do is hit the number. And it's never a problem having you on.
Thank you, Rich Money. Much appreciated, man. I appreciate the love, man.
No doubt. But same here, y'all. Robert V. Cruz, Dons and Divas. All right. Coming up next, our special guest appearance, minister and author Lisa Dixon. And we're going to talk to her about her novel that's hitting the nation real hard, Free. So stay right there and don't move. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment.
Oh,
All right, Dons and Divas, welcome back to the palace. And with me right now, I have minister and author Lisa Dixon. Lisa, welcome to the show. Hello, Lisa.
How you doing? I'm glad to be here.
Thank you, and I appreciate you joining us this evening. I heard about this book that you have.
I'm so glad you're here.
I heard it's a very, very good book. So, you know, I got to get it and read this book over and over. Because I know the book
you
is mainly based. Why don't you tell our listeners a little something about your novel?
Well, I get a lot of people asking me, one of the first questions people ask me is, how can someone be set free? Because the title is called Free. And I like to tell people that you can't be set free until first you realize that you are bound. That's the first step. And the reason why I called my book Free is because I didn't realize that I wasn't free until I got incarcerated. I did 4.5 years in prison. And it was in prison when I was physically bound that, you know, that God set me free in my mind. I realized just how bound I was walking around in the free world. And I'm so sick and tired of, you know, Christians, you know, we in church and we know that we're blood washed and we know that we're born again, but we're running around here letting the old man keep us in prison.
Wow.
And so my book is a tool that I want all believers to read and to take away every excuse. We have no more excuses no more. So what if you're molested? So what if you're raped? So what if you're in gangs or on drugs or abused or whatever not? You know, we have been blood washed. We have been bought with a high price, and we are new creations. We shouldn't be in bondage by those old things. We need to be free, and freedom starts in our mind. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care how many men you got like you, how many women you got, how many houses, how many cars, how great your kids are. If you are bound in your mind, you are bound.
Okay.
And so, you know, I've been through a lot. I've been there, done that. And, you know, I was led to write down my testimony to let people know that, you know, if you got family members that's in gangs or on drugs, that they could be set free. Don't cast them out. Don't throw them away.
Exactly.
You've been raped. If you've been on drugs, you know, my father was on heroin. My mother was on crack cocaine. Thank God now they've been sober for over 15 years. But don't cast them out. There's still hope.
Okay, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I definitely agree with you on that.
You got these kids that's in gangs. You know, I wish that everybody that have been incarcerated would get out and tell these kids, you know, the real about prison. That it ain't no game. It ain't smooth sailing. You know, it's hard in there. And they're not getting out sharing this with these kids. You know, they're not, you know, all these gang members. You know, they're dressing up. Being in a gang, they're dressing up, selling drugs, but there's consequences for all that.
Exactly. It definitely is.
So I'm hoping and I'm praying that after reading my book, that it sets some people free.
I believe it will. You know, for the simple fact that everything that you're saying at this point right now, so I know it will. You know, it's no question about it. Now, As your novel, right? What's your favorite part in your novel?
One of my favorite parts. There are a few, and some of my tearjerkers. One is when I got incarcerated. My son was 6 years old, and at the time I got incarcerated, to see his eyes, I realized when people say when you go to prison you get sentenced alone. That's a lie. My son was innocent, and he got sentenced with me. And I took for granted when I was out here in the free world, when I could spend time with him, when I could be a mother to him, I took for granted, and I did my own thing. And so I wrote about his pain, what I saw in his eyes, what he had to go through, because I wanted people to, I wanted to share what we're putting our kids through with these bad choices that we're making.
Now, your novel, is it published by a company or is it self-published?
it's self-published. I actually, I'm going to do also a tell-all because I want upcoming authors who maybe can't afford to at that time to go through a company. I'm going step by step with some of the steps I'm taking that's either free or at least expensive. And I am on Amazon. I am on ebook now and Kindle, but I also have a website, you know, that I created myself. Mm-hmm. That people can go on and purchase the book.
Okay. Now, you said, which I just caught on to, the fact that you wrote as one of the characters about your son. So your novel is mainly about your biography?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I actually wrote it in a pen name, Sonoya Moore, because back home, you know, my family is real well known in the gang world, and so when the kid where I'm from, I don't want people to be so caught up with who did what or who it's who. I want them to read and receive the message.
Well, you know, this is just my opinion, because I truly believe the fact of you being an author and people knowing it's you, that's going to make them want to read it more. You understand? Because you're giving them that vibe of, like, this is what I went through, and now look at me now. I'm up on top of, you know, I'm doing bigger and better things. That was the past. You know, you didn't let the past destruct your present, which made it better in the future. You understand? That's just my thing. Me personally, I would feel like, okay, yeah, this is about me. This is my autobiography. This is about me, and this is what I've been through in my life. And you still can accept me for who I am, but if not, my life is still going to go on. You understand?
Right.
But the fact that they read that book is what I want. Go ahead.
Well, when I go speak, I go to schools and speak. You know, I go to jails, wherever I'm asked to go, and even back home. You know, when they first read the book, they don't know it's me. They're like, oh my God. Then when they see, okay, this is Lisa. Lisa wrote this book. Not only does it give them hope that they can do it too, but they received the message and they found out that I was the one who wrote the book. But for those that know it's me up front, I get so many phone calls asking me, who is Shay? Who is Mark? Who, you know, instead of reading the book all the way, they're so busy calling me trying to figure out, you know, so I let them know at the end, because I tell my testimony everywhere I go, because I was a beast for the devil, so now I'm a beast for God, you know, so I'm not ashamed of it at all. I want people to see me, see how much class I have now, how much of a lady I am, how much anointing and power I have, how much drive and passion I got now in a positive way, and then when they read my story, they can't believe that that's the same person, but I want them to know there was nobody but God.
Exactly. Because when I want to ask, like you said, they ask you who's Mike and everything, and who's this person. When naming your characters in your novel, do you give any thought to the actual meaning?
Well, you mean the name? Do I try to make the name? No, because I don't want. Like one of the characters is a family member of mine. He's my uncle in real life. He's my cousin in the book. I changed all the names up because I don't want nobody getting offended or, you know, by me putting their business out. Really, my whole goal, my focus is I want people. That's like you being mad at the mailman because people give shut off notice when you knew you didn't pay your bill. I want people to focus on the message. Not everybody else's message. You know, if you were in my book, I don't want them to focus on your message. I mean, focus on your story. I want them to focus on my story, my message.
Okay, so now I see exactly what you're saying. Now, when you wrote your novel, or when you write, do you have ways of getting your creativity juice flowing, or was it just like, okay, let me just sit here and get my own stuff together before I get started?
Well, to be honest with you, the very first time I ever tried to write, I had went through a really bad situation in a church, and so I said, I'm going to write a book called Church Hurts, you know, just because that's what I wanted to do. But when I began to, I mean, just the more people I met in the church, I'm talking about outside the church. See, I'm not a religious person. I'm a spiritual person. I love God. I'm kingdom-minded. So a lot of church folks don't like me because I'm kingdom minded. See, they know the things of God. I know the ways of God and the things of God. So I'm not no religious type person. And so when I begin to look around at people in the church who's supposed to love God and who's supposed to be born again, and they're living in all these excuses, you know, every excuse they got is, you know, you don't know my story. I've been through this and I've been through that. I say, God, I want to write a story to, I want to tell a story. It wasn't even so much of me wanting to write at first. I wanted to tell a story about where I've been, but how I overcame it, and then look at me now. You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
To take away all the excuses that everybody has. And so when I sat down, and I just got on the computer one day, and I began to just write down stories from my life, little hurtful stories, hurtful situations I've been through. And I began to read over them all, and I just started putting them in order, and the book came out.
Okay. Now, let's say your novel gets chosen in the movie. Would you be an active and involved with that? Or would you just have...
Oh, I would love to. I would love to. I mean, I don't know. I know for a fact that my book is a blockbuster hit movie just waiting to be made. I know this without a shadow of a doubt. But I don't know. You know, if they came and they wanted to buy all rights for me, I wouldn't have a problem with that, but they can't offer me enough money in the world to make me say that it wasn't God who freed me. You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't Jesus. Because, you know, they want us to take Jesus out of everything.
Yeah.
So that would open whoever, you know, when my book does go to the big screen, they will not be able to take Jesus out of it. I don't care how much money they offer me.
I hear you. You're absolutely right about that. And that's the good thing. We have a call on the line for you. We're going to bring them on, okay?
Okay.
Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Yes, sir. I would just want to say, I was just listening to the comments from Minister Lisa. Praise God. I really enjoy what you're saying because that's a big issue. You're right, within the church. We're walking around just as bound as we want to be, and we ought not be, because Jesus says he who the Son says free is free indeed. But I like what
Amen.
You just said. I just like what you just said about if your book was to be made into a movie, and what you would not allow it to do is them to take Jesus out of it. That's the evidence of really being free.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's the evidence of really being free. Because when you're not willing to compromise, you're free.
That's right.
You're totally free. And that's a good thing. And I like the whole idea about the book, and I'm waiting to get in the information about the website, because I think that's probably the best route to go to get it directly from you. I know Amazon.com and Kindle, you know, they give you some royalties, but you ain't getting the whole thing, because I know I have a book out
right.
there too, so I know you ain't getting the whole thing, so it's probably best to go through the website.
Mm-hmm.
Are you self-promoting your...
I actually went through a self-publishing a publishing company, a Christian a publishing company called Zulon Press.
Yeah, I heard about them.
Okay.
Well, the reason I asked is because I'm running into a lot of authors right now, and I'm coming up with more and more. The Bible says that God will give us good invention, and I'm coming up with more and more different ways to use social media or to use it, you know,
yes.
other churches and other venues to promote my book. You know, I also preach and also do motivational speaking, but a lot of those companies, they don't promote enough for me. You know, I don't care how much promotional skills people got. Without passion, nobody's got passion for your baby but you.
Absolutely.
I hate to use the word unattractive child, but you take a person whose child is, you know, gorgeous to the world standard, but that in the eyes of that parent, they got the most beautiful child, and they're gonna brag about their child just like somebody else would about their most gorgeous child. Well, that's something about my book. I'm so passionate about this. Is not a book to me; it's a ministry. And
right.
I'm so passionate about it, I can talk about it at a funeral. I'm so passionate. I know. And I'm not, because I donate a lot of them. So it's not just about the money. Money follows ministry. I'm about to chase the dollar down. I know my story. Because hear me when I tell y'all. And I want y'all to take this. If y'all don't get nothing out of this interview, I was the chiefest of demons. I was a beast. So, I mean, I made sin look good.
So I feel like I'm obligated to God to make being saved look good. And you can't be religious and playing church making being saved look good, because it's a lifestyle. And so I want people to know from my ministry too, which is my book and through my testimony, is that this ain't just about money to me. I want y'all to cry as you read my story. I want you to think as you read my story. But I want, in the end, I want you to truly be set free in your mind. And even people in jail, I sent my books to people in jail, letting them know you can be free right where you are. Because when the rapture happens, folks gonna be raptured up out of jail.
Absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree with that, because I've done ministry in prisons, and that was my focus, going in there telling those men that you can be free while you're incarcerated under the penal system, and that's something that they needed to know, because I mean the penal system is designed to keep you not free but locked up. Even when you get out of prison, you have that prison mentality when you get out, so much so that you get out there in the world and you feel like you can't make it, and the first thing you do is go out there and do something that's going to bring you back.
That's right. Work that up. I mean, you know, nowadays, it has never been about rehabilitation. It's always been about, now prisons, you know, the drug boys putting their money together and they're building prisons. But
that's
again,
right.
There's not enough of us. Now, hear me, the Bible says there's neither Hebrew nor Greek, which means there's neither black nor white, so I'm not racist at all. But it does bother me that our people, as African-Americans, I mean, we are not unified enough to support one another, to help get each other. It's too many of us that have crab and a bear mentality, and I'm running into that a lot. When I go speak at churches, it's a lot of people, the fact that when I give my testimony, I give it in the raw, let people know, you know, I smoked weed, you know, I sold drugs. The Bible says that there's pleasure in sin, but for a season.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay to tell people about some of the things you've done, but you need to let them know the consequences of it. Don't act like, I was just so miserable when I was out there. No, I had some fun, but I still was bound. I was bound to sin. I was bound when I was going out to clubs, when I was drinking, I was bound. No matter how much fun I appear to have, I was bound. But now that I'm on this side, when my bank account does not look the way I want it to look, I'm still free.
That's right.
Well, you know, this is what I try to tell. We don't have enough of Christians now that have been set free from prison and drugs, and that they're not ashamed to come back and tell these kids, baby, these even little joints you're smoking, they're going to lead to cocaine. They're going to lead to heroin. You know, tell these little girls who got all their cleavage out. You know, honey, a man, when he look at you like that, he's looking to take you home, but not home to meet mama.
That's right.
We need to get in the trenches and tell these kids, baby, the way you're growing, you're going to be washed up before 25. I was 25 years old when I went to prison at my prime.
Yes. Amen. I understand that, because I also did ministry in a youth home, and I would go into detention center, and I would go in there and tell those young boys, listen, God had no intention for you being here, but now that you're here, you got find your way to get up out of here, because if not, they got something bigger and more depraving waiting on you. They're just waiting for you to get of age so they can put you in that other place, and you got to break that cycle. Absolutely.
My cousin was late in prison. You know, they didn't get word to the prison people, to the inmates soon enough to let him know that he was against us. And they raped him. He lost his mind. He ended up killing himself by maybe a year or so after he got out of prison. So, but this is these are stories that I don't know if these kids don't believe it can't happen to them. You know, again, I think everything, sex education, everything needs to be taught in the church. And hear me, I ain't got nothing against holiness church, because I was raised holiness. And, you know, we all got to be holy, we all got to be righteous, but I think that people are missing the point when they talk about holiness. They think that just means long skirts all the way down to the ground, you know, don't listen to rap, don't, you know, that has nothing to do with being holiness.
No.
You know, if I see that my brother, my sister's in need, you know, how can I say I'm living holy, but I can't be there to support them? How can I see your child going astray? Because see, we got to have the village mentality. What affects one directly affects us all indirectly. Now, if I see your child out there selling drugs and knocking people up over their head, and I turn my back, and then next week my child hanging with your child going to influence my child do wrong. So I can help your child today, I'm saving my child tomorrow.
Absolutely. And you know one thing, that and what you're saying to just to even make it even more
understanding for people, what they really need to know is that where you get to that level of understanding is you got to have a relationship with the Lord. You
That's
need
right.
a relationship, because that will get you to the place of when you see somebody in need, you go and meet that need. Because that's what a relationship with the Lord will bring you to, because that's what he was all about. I mean, John 3:16 and John 15:13 speaks to that.
That's right.
So it's a lot of what we have to get to is getting into a relationship with God.
All right. I want you to stay on the line. We have another caller. I want to bring them on real fast. All right. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. How are you? You know, I'm just sitting here listening, and actually your book is actually based on the topic, the general question we had earlier. And I definitely think and know that I need to read your book, because I need to free myself from, you know, my past of, you know, being molested, drugs. You know, it's numerous of things I need to free myself from, and I really need to know how to free myself. And I think your book would put me where I need to be.
Amen.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I just want you to know right now. See, God ain't no weak God. It ain't hard to get to him. Right now,
right.
You just took the first step. You
right.
just took the first steps, right? You know, the Bible says open confession. Open confession is good for the soul. So
that's
you
right.
just like, you gave God something to work with, baby girl. You didn't give him the flour and the meal, so you cooking with grease now.
Yeah.
Amen.
So
but now
I had
by
never, I had never told anybody the story about my, you know, being molested by two uncles. I just told my brother, and I just told him maybe a month ago about it. Because when I did tell it, I got a beating for it, you know. So
yeah.
I never opened up to anybody.
Mm.
But when the question, the topic came out tonight, it was just like it just came out, you know. And I mean, I cried about it, you know, because I had like flashbacks. And it's not an easy thing to get over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I never ever forgave my uncles, you know, may they rest in peace now. But when I got the call that they had died, you know, and I was wrong, because I said good, you know, even though I was an adult. But it was just the things that I had to go through back then when they did this act, you know.
Mm.
Not one uncle, but two.
Mm.
And every time I seen them, I would just shake, you know. But nobody, you know, my aunts, because I was living with them, they never, like, paid me any attention. You know, it was like, oh, you just fast. And I'm, like, 10 years old, so what are you talking about? So I was doing,
wow.
I told my father freed me from it, you know, and he sent for me. And after that, I mean, I was just scared, and I never opened up until tonight. And we're talking about over, what, 40, about 40 years ago.
Mm.
You know, so I know that this book should set me free.
Let me just share this with you.
Okay.
Even if they're dead and gone, you know, forgiveness is for you. They don't deserve to have you in bondage twice, you know.
Right.
Now,
you have to, what helped me forgive, you know, my mother's cousin molested me. And I was a child, and when I got grown, you know, into my curves and all that, I ran
uh-huh.
into him, and I don't know if he thought I forgot, but he grabbed my hand, and he said, "You showed and grown up to be beautiful." And I had thought I forgave him, but something went through me that made me want to choke him. But see, I also had the Holy Ghost on the inside at that time, and what God was showing me is that I had not forgiven him. And
mm-hmm.
what I had to realize is that he will not victimize me twice. So I had to forgive him to free my own self.
Mm-hmm.
Because let me tell you something. God allowed you to go through what you went through, woman of God, because you were strong enough, because even one day you were going to be bold enough to go back into the devil's camp and bring somebody else out of what you had already gone through.
Mm-hmm.
So he's
mm-hmm.
waiting on you now. He's waiting on you now to release it. You got see right now, you're in the free world, but you're bound in your mind because you have not released that thing.
Okay.
Amen. That thing happened. Let me ask you this. Are you a Christian?
Yes, I am.
Then it didn't happen to you. It happened to the old man, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. You
That's
have to start real. See, you can't go into that closet and take out certain things from the old man. If you are blood washed, blood bought, then those things happen to the old man.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't allow the old man to infect the new man.
I had
to get to a place where when I made it up in my mind, it wasn't about church, it wasn't about nobody. I made it up in my mind that I was not going to allow the old man to affect me. I was not going to allow I was not going to allow nothing to happen to me in my past to hinder where I was going. The rest of my days are going to be the best of my days.
Okay.
My husband, my kids, nobody.
Yeah. You know, with the drugs, I was looking at 21 years, you know. It's just, I don't know. So much has come out of me since I've been, like, just being on GQ Palace, things that I never spoke about. I feel free to speak about them, you know. But, like, tonight, it just gave me, huh?
Do you journal?
No.
You need to hear me. It will free you. So if you start journaling, you don't know, you probably got 2-3 books up in you. Once you start journaling, writing it down, and then you begin to reread that, it'll be like it happened to somebody else. And then once you read what you've gone through, woman of God, you'll literally be, I'm stronger than what I thought. How could I have gone through those things and still be here standing? So once you begin to journal it, write it down, it will show you just how strong you are.
That's right. And if I can add one thing to that as well, in the book of Genesis, in that second chapter where it deals with Adam and Eve, when they got married, the Bible says that they were both naked and not ashamed. When you release that has you bound, that makes you naked, and you can be unashamed. So you're going to be free.
Okay.
That's why you don't repress anything. Anytime you repress something, you're binding your own self. You're binding your own self. But when you release that thing, you become naked. And when you become naked, you can be unashamed. That's like also with anyone that has any repressed or unconfessed sin that they think that they're hiding, they need to release that thing and confess it. Openly confess that thing to God, and you will be naked and unashamed, because there's nothing there'll be no reason for you to hide like Adam did after he realized that they had transgressed against God, and he tried to cover that thing up, and then he tried to hide because he was ashamed.
Okay,
well, I want y'all to know, Lauren, I have another call I want to bring in. Hello, caller, are you there? Hello?
Who you speaking?
Yeah,
hello.
I'm talking to you. Yeah, you want to?
Hey, How you doing? Yeah, it's Elijah. Just calling as usual to show some love and support. But I truly believe, you know, there's no coincidences, and you know, God had a plan for the theme of the show this night. As you, He truly had a plan, and I agree with all that's being said. You know, with regards to, you know, not allowing someone to continuously bind you up and furthermore to bind your own self in your own mind. You know, God, you know, He knows what He's doing. So that's why I think He made it His business to make sure that this topic was discussed tonight. But this is some powerful stuff going down. So, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
And for the young lady that is putting out the book, you know, I think you're doing a great thing. And then, you know, I always trust and believe that there is nothing like the power of the testimony. And,
amen.
You know, hopefully you will leave a link or something, because I, in my daily business, am always looking for positive spiritual reading material for the clients and people that I work with, you know. And, you know, there's nothing, like I said, like the power of a testimony. And you just keep doing what you're doing, because you're breaking yokes tonight. And I think you know that. And
Thank
that's what God has called you to do that.
Amen.
Amen.
Well,
I want to ask you a couple of more questions so before we run out of time. Everybody, I want to stay on the line. Y'all can stay on the line. It's not a problem because I think we got like 10 minutes and y'all got so deep with it. I don't know. You know, but what the main question I want to ask you, he says, what was the hardest part writing for your novel?
Being naked. When you live in the world, I mean, I'm not talking about being saved. I'm talking about when you're living in the streets. You know, you out there hustling and you gang banging. You have a facade that you got to keep up. Well, my bad. They call it an image, but we all know it's a facade.
Mm-hmm.
And so, confessing in my book that I didn't have it all together, and that I was afraid, and that was scary for me, because mm-hmm. I went naked before my family and my peers, and also my father. We was really close, and I knew my father was gonna read that book. And he was on heroin, you know, when I was going through all that. And now he's heroin, you know, I pronounce it all crazy. But anyway, but now he's saved. And I knew as a safe father, a good father, this was going to bring up his sickness, him not being there for me. And it did just that, you know, and he saw me and he was in tears. But God is so merciful, even though he called me and he said it hurt him, that he wasn't there for me. He said that if God put him over his army, that he would choose me to be his first elite soldier. Because he realized how strong I was for going through all of it and coming out the way that I did. But it was hard because I knew my parents was going to have to read some of the stuff. And
now,
once you read my book and you see some of the stuff I've done, how the devil used me. You know, it's coming face to face with them demons and easy.
Mm-hmm. So what actually gave you the inspiration to write your book? You know, because it sounded like it was just so hard. So what gave you the inspiration to actually write this book?
You know, if you have never had a trip to Damascus experience with God, you may not believe what I'm about to say. Some folks, they've never heard God audibly, or they've never had been, so they don't believe, you know, in the true relationship with God. But God spoke to me one day. I was in my cell. And while I was in prison, I was mad at God. You know, I wasn't saved or nothing, but I'm like, how could you let this happen to me after everything I've been going through? And right while I was talking, God showed me a vision of me in the casket. And he told me, I got locked up August of 1994. He said, hey, not snatch you, you'd have been dead come Christmas. So, of course, you know, I began to cry and weep. And right there in that cell, I prayed. I just said, God, I don't even know what it means to be saved. But I know I don't want to live like this no more. And maybe for 2 hours, I cried and I cried and I cried. And when I got up to wipe my tears away, I saw myself sitting down writing a book. And when I got done, it was a manuscript. All I saw, but it didn't have a title to it. So I had been praying, God, give me a title, give me a title, give me a title. And while I was reading my Bible, He gave me the title. And he told me, I'm going to bless this book from cover to cover. Now, one time did he say you were going to make millions of dollars on this book. He said, I'm going to bless this book from cover to cover, and the nation will be set free.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you know.
So then he said, open confession. What the brother just said about us with open confession, that's true. But even when he was speaking, what God gave me is that we stripped the devil of all his power. When we allow the Spirit to unbind us, we
mm-hmm.
take away all his power.
Absolutely.
He has power in our shame. He has power
mm-hmm.
in our guilt.
Mm-hmm.
But once we strip him of all that, he's powerless over us.
That's right.
So when he said, Paul, I knew, Silas, I know, he going to say, Lisa, I know.
That's right.
Deep, and you know, the only power that the devil has is the power that you give him.
That's right.
That's right.
The only power that he has is the power that you give him. So if you don't
That's
give
right.
him power, he has no power.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
Well, the Bible
Amen.
Says in Revelations that we will scarcely be able to see him in the end days. That if we're gonna say, was it you? You that caused kingdoms to fall? You that caused... We were scared. We make him big. He's not big. He's not a giant. He come in as a roaring lion. He is as big as we make him. Whatever our fear is, we give him strength.
Amen.
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 And so now,
And see, I go around telling people all the bad stuff I've done so they can't have no power over me. But now, because I know that that person who done all that bad stuff and all that bad stuff happened to, it ain't me.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
I don't live in shame of what she did.
Or
right. I don't live in shame of what happened to her or guilt of what she did because it wasn't
Amen.
Me.
That's right.
Wow.
And you know, one other thing real quick, when you talk about the kingdom building, kingdom work that you're doing, that's the impetus for God to bless you in the natural. So the financial is going to come because, you know, Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you.
And let me just share this with y'all real quick. I know we pressed for time, but I want everybody on this line to hear what I'm about to say. When you are about kingdom building, I want all y'all to know 2013, this is afraid of 2013, but for us, this is our blessed year. We are in a year of divine connection.
Hmm.
2 months ago, I prayed. I said, God, I need you to bring some people into my life that's passionate about my book as I am. And he brought me a sister named Tisa and another sister named Leah Butler. And she's a children author, too, an awesome, powerful woman of God. Y'all are going to be hearing more about her book through some of my avenues, too, a bilingual book. But hear me when I tell y'all, God brought me help. He brought
mm-hmm.
me support. He brought me somebody that has a passion, the love. If you met, you would think that we've been sisters for a long time. But she's
mm-hmm.
sometime in the wee wee hours of the night putting together stuff for me, working. We got a season of divine connection. If
mm-hmm.
we hide ourselves up under God and we believe it, if we're doing kingdom business, everything is going to fall in line.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm. Wow. Well, Lisa, we're running out of, excuse me, Minister Arthur, Lisa, we're running out of time. But what I want you to do, I want you to give everybody your information because the line is lit up. I want you to give them all your information and everything. Let them know where they could get the book, how they could get it and everything.
Okay. Okay, if you want to go to my website, you can go to www.Senoia, S-E-N-O-I-A, more, M-O-O-R.com. That is books by SenoiaMoore.com.
Okay.
www.booksbysenoiamoore.com, or you can reach me at 678-468-0715.
Okay, say it for me one more time.
678-468-0715, or www.booksbysenoiamoore. Senoia is spelled SENOIAMOOR.com.
All right. Well, Minister, I want to thank you. It's been an honor. I'm not going to say shout outs because that's why I usually ask people they want to give shout outs. So I'm going to ask you, is there any blessings you want to give to anybody? I'm going to say shout outs.
Well, you know what? I have the sister I just told y'all about, Leah Butler. I want to thank God for her. I want to thank God for obedience. The sister Lavina, you know, when I tell you she is giving me a whole new, no offense, but, you know, I meet people up from New York. I'm like, they just so cold. That sister has such an anointing, such an openness, a drawing, I'm going to put together a gang summit real soon and different youth conferences. And I'm going to stay in contact with that. That's my sister from another mother. And I haven't even met face to face, but I know that God has divinely connected us together, and we're going to do some big things.
Mm. Yes, and this book is going to go far, and we're going to do everything we can to help you out with it. Ain't no question about it.
I appreciate
it. Well, I want to thank you. Welcome back anytime as well. It's never a problem. You want to come and talk about it a little more, or if you want to got something else going on, what's the next step for you after the novel? What's the next step?
Well, I'm actually writing part two. I'm actually writing part two for that book, and I'm still doing going around speaking and doing empowerment ministries and different ministries and stuff like that. I don't want to say that I'm a author and I want to, you know, write books and stuff like that because my passion is to be one-on-one with God's people. I am in the process of writing the sequel to Free.
Mm.
Okay, okay. Well, you definitely keep us informed with that and let us know what's going on. I'm pretty sure you got in touch with executive producer Lavina. You have a number to let her know. She let me know, and we take it from there. Anything we could do for you that you feel come in handy, give a call, and we there.
I appreciate it. I'm going to for sure be getting in contact with y'all because I'm about to start a foundation, and I really do want to New York, Chicago, L.A., you know, I all these so-called cities that they think that's bigger than that's bigger than God. We need to go in and, you know, do some kingdom work. So I'm putting together some stuff that I'm going to for sure be getting in contact with y'all about.
Okay, and we'll be here waiting for you.
All right. Y'all be blessed.
All right, you too. Minister Arthur Lisa Dixon, Dons and Divas. All right. That's it for tonight's show. I want to thank my guests. I want to thank the listeners. I want to thank the callers. I want to thank special guest appearance from Minister Arthur Lisa Dixon. I want to thank everybody that supported GQ Palace within the past year. We couldn't have done it without your love and support. I really thank you. My team, thank you. Me, myself, Rich Money, I want to thank my whole GQ Palace team because I couldn't have made it without y'all. You understand? I also want to give a special rest in peace to my uncles that passed, Tyrone Lewis, Martin Henry White, Zegary. May they rest in peace. You know, it's been a hard struggle for me, but my family, my GQ Palace family, like I said, the love and support from all y'all, I made it through. So this year, we're going to make it a better year. Don't forget, GQ Palace has 6 episodes a week. You have Spiritual Sunday, comes on Sunday from 7 to 9 with Lavina Polite. She'll be having some of her special guests, which is some of the most powerful ministers, elders, pastors, evangelists. She also plays gospel music, and you can as well call in and give your testimony. On Monday, we have Relation Lodge and Deceased with Steph Dallas, the host with the most. Then after that, from 7 to 9, after Relation Lodge and Deceased from 7 to 9, from 9 to 10, excuse me. My mind is just bumbled after that. Rest in peace. I'm sorry, y'all. Monday, from 7 to 9, we have Love, Life, and Loyalties with Steph Dallas, the host with the most. From 9 to 10, we have Relation Lodge and Deceased with Dr. Feelgood. He discussed relationships, please, no children. This is an adult segment. Explicit content will be used. Let me say that again. Explicit content will be used. On Tuesdays, we have GPS, GQ Palace Sports, from 8 to 10 with the mayor, who's bringing you the bigger picture in sports. So you say you know sports? Call in. Let's see what you know about. On Wednesday, we have the Diva Squad doing their thing, playing the hottest slow jams and R&B and discussing their grown and sexy topics. That's T.C. Holland, Rachel A. Smith, and Michelle Shelley Jackson. They doing their thing on the Diva Squad. And on Fridays, once again, you're back here with Rich Money, Love, and Entertainment. We also got another segment that will be coming out soon on Sundays with K.L. Belvin. He was actually in Jet Magazine and Ebony Magazine from 9 to 10 on Sundays, which is from Gigolo to Jesus. He will also be coming on. I want to wish y'all a safe and happy weekend. Once again, I'm your host, Rich Money. And I'm out. Y'all be safe. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment.
It's fire, baby!
For sure.
Check it out. Hit you with no
delaying to what you saying, yo. Silly with my 9mm with the dilly, yo. When I be on the mic, yes, I do my duty, yo. While up in the club like we while in the studio. You don't wanna violate, nigga, really and truly, yo. My main thug, nigga, named Julio, he moody, yo. Type of nigga that'll slap you with the Tulio. Bitch, nigga, scared to death, act fruity, yo. Fuck that, lick it shorty, she a little cutie, yo. The way you shake it makes me wanna get all in the booty, yo. Top bitch, just sit there banging bitches in videos. While I'm with my freak like we up in the freak shows. If you with the shit, make you feel it all in your toes. Hot shit, got all you niggas in wet clothes. Style like my metaphors when I formulate my flows. If you don't know, you fucking with lyrical player pros.
Do
like
you really
that.
Wanna party with me? Let me see what you got for me. Put all your hands with my eyes to see. Stay fuck violent in the place to be. If you really wanna party with me, let me see what you got for me. Put all your hands with my eyes to see. Stay fuck violent in the place to be. If you really wanna party with me.
Ain't God we trust? Yo, it's them, I say you heard of us, yo, we murder us. A lot of niggas is wondering and they curious. How me and my niggas do it is so mysterious. Serious, all of my niggas is serious. Shook niggas be walking around fearing us. Front nigga like you don't wanna be hearing us. Gotta listen to how radio be playing us. 30 times I think he to make you delirious. Damaging everything all up in your area. Yo, it's funny how all the chickens be always serving us. All of them between the ass when they wanna carry us. If you're good, then I hit them off with the alias. Chickens, they wanna marry us. Yo, it's flip mode, my nigga, you know we bout to bust. 7-figure money, the label preparing us. Fight the dust instead of you making the fuss. Niggas know better cause there ain't no comparing us. Mad at us, niggas is never, we fabulous. If my people off with the flow, that be marvelous. Oh shit, my whole clique victorious. Taking no prisoners, niggas is straight up warriors. Why you feeling that? I know you be feeling so glorious. Then I bless and reminisce from my nigga notorious.
Like that, that, put all your hands in my eyes to see. Shape up, violent in the place to be. If you really wanna party with me.